Blog Talk Radio.
You be LA.
You need to cut it.
Hold on, people.
We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's not give in.
That's true. We make a better day, just you and me. Oh, man. What's going on, Grudge World? Oh, this Shake and Bake is a little tired, y'all. Y'all going to have to hold him up today. I've been driving, and I'm still driving. I'm on that freeway, so I had to pull over and do the show. But I want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. We're going to get it in regardless, and we're going to do the damn thing. I know y'all got something to talk about. The race at Memphis, we want to talk about that, which ain't a whole lot to talk about, but we're going to talk about what and, which and whatever. So hit the one button and let's get busy, people. Whatever's on your mind, let's blow it. First and foremost, let's always give God his. I wanna say a quick prayer for two reasons. One, because I'm on the road and I'm tired and I don't want to fall asleep, so I'm gonna get some rest after the show. First and foremost, Father God in heaven, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me, and thank you for blessing those that surround me. I can't just speak on myself. I want you to take care of all those people that's in need, my people on the show, my co-hosts, my friends far and near. And most of all, Lord, I want to send out a prayer to my brother Aaron Ison out of St. Louis. He had a newborn child, and the baby's having complications. That's your baby, Lord. That's your child. We don't have anything to give it or to do for it. Lord, it's in your hand. We ask you to take care of the baby, make sure everything's okay, and bring the baby home safely. I'm going to try to call him later on in the show and see how he's doing, just to keep an update on him, on the brother. I know him and his wife going through a little bit right now, trying to work and stay at the hospital. So, Lord, it's your child. I ask that you take care of the baby and give the family some guidance and some relief. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Let's get this show going. All right, people, hit the one button, so let's get to talking and find out what's going on here in the Grudge World. Boy, it's been a rough week for me. You talking about some sleep loss. I have really lost a lot of sleep this week. I had to make preparations, and I got to keep on digging and getting it in because I got to get some more things out the way before I can work on this car. And that car is sitting there looking me in the face, and I got to hurry up and get to it. Well, I'm not going to rush. If it do, it do. If it don't, it don't. But I got more important things to dig up and take care of. And life's a trip. It really is. You got to figure out what's priority in life. Is the race car priority right now? No. So you got to figure out, people, what's priority and do your priority first. Because when you start putting your money into a race car and you got other things that's important, we call that no-go money. You do not put your no-go money into a race car. That's your light and gas bill money, house no rent, things of that sort. I know some people have done it, and they sitting belly up right now. So, with that being said, all right, people, hit the one button so we can get this thing going. Where my co-host at? I ain't got no co-host on here yet. Everybody in the bushes. Oh, there we go. All right, 313. That's brother. Brother Phillip. What up, Brother Phillip?
What's going on, Mr. Shake and Bake? You all right, man?
Nah, man, I'm tired and sleepy on this doggone road, so I gotta make the best of it.
Hey, I hear you. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm the same boat. That's why I called in.
What you on? Are you on your speaker?
Yeah.
Are you on your speaker?
I'm on the the radio thing.
On your the radio in your car?
Yeah.
Let's find something else, because it's real dim. I can barely hear you.
Really? Damn.
Really hear you. If you got it going through your radio, it's real dim. You ain't got no Bluetooth, no earplug?
Nah, I think I left it at the house.
Let's try putting your phone on speaker.
Yeah, let me try something.
Try putting.
Hello?
Yeah.
That better?
Seems about the same. Keep talking. Yeah. Keep talking. Let me hear.
Yeah, I just, trying to find, trying to get somebody to keep it going here, because I'm on my way back from Lapeer and I'm tired.
Well, we'll keep you talking and going. We don't want you to fall asleep at the wheel. I know it's probably quite a few more people that's coming from Lapeer, because today was some kind of test and tune or some kind of event they had going on today. But for those that's coming back from the racetrack, that's what a lot of people do. They use the show to stay woke on. So did you have any fun out there? You get to see any races, or what was going on in Lapeer? Give us a showdown.
I'm not even gonna lie, man. I got out here like super, super duper late. Had to go to my mom's house, check on her and everything, and fell asleep.
She's doing all right.
She's doing fine. She's doing fine. Just, got to keep an eye on her,
Yeah.
But, it's just, I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm like, if you get off work and you go and visit your mom's and everything, you fall asleep over there, don't expect her to wake you up on time. It's not going to happen.
No. She said that's not her responsibility no more.
Exactly. I saw a few things out here, a few cars out here and stuff. It was about ready to close anyway, but hey, I had to come out here and smell some kind of race fuel,
Right. That smelling of race fuel, that race cologne, and seeing some of them cars go down the track, man, it gets you hyped up for the rest of the year.
Yes, sir.
Did you see anybody's car out there that you knew?
Nah, I ain't really seen nobody out there I knew.
Well, I got some report earlier that Hamilton Mike was out with his car.
Oh, okay, yeah, he probably was out there earlier just doing it.
Yeah, they say he's looking pretty good. I'll probably try to get him to come on a little later. I know a lot of people probably on their way back home unloading their car or whatnot. But,
yeah.
I know Doc James didn't go back out.
Nah, he was out there, but he ain't taking nothing. He was just, spectating.
Yeah. That's good.
Like you say, definitely with the cars and everything, you don't mix your bill money with the pleasure money. There's been so many times where I'm like, oh man, I need that cab there. Oh man, I need them cylinders. Oh man, I need that intake. Rent due. Car note due. Phone bill due. Like a friend of mine say, you take one hand, take and put one in one hand and sit in the other and see which one lives away the most.
God,
Yeah, so you definitely don't want to mix your bill money up with your car money, even though you want to get it out there and stuff, you know. I mean, it sounds good and everything. Car sounds good when you start it up. But guess what? When it get cold at night, that sucker don't feel good sleeping in it.
Not even if you take the helmet off, do it feel?
Nope. Oh, yeah, you just got a little pad in the helmet and stuff, so you can lay your head on the roll cage and stuff. But hell, that neck starts to get a kink in it after a while.
Yeah, that ain't very comfortable at all. Not very comfortable at all.
Yes, yes.
Well,
like you said, you got to make them very good and wise decisions.
Yeah, that's what life's all about, man. Making decisions, you got to make the right one. And I didn't make a good decision. I was trying to make the race at Memphis. And, boy, you should have seen me trying. I was doing everything. I was throwing the book at it, trying to get ready to get up out of here. And the Lord said it just wasn't working out. Just wasn't working out. Either way I go, he said, I didn't tell you to go. I didn't tell you to go. So I had to stop back and listen for a minute. So I changed gears. So instead of going for the race, I'm going for another reason. You know your auntie Christine got cancer.
Yeah.
And she in and out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital, man. And I gotta go down there and see what I can do for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, she getting better.
Well, I'll find out when I get down there. Because at one time she was and came home and went back to work. But then something else happened and put her back in the hospital. So that chemo ain't really helping. It ain't helping at all.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't trust that chemo. I look for another alternative before I would some chemo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid, but I don't know what's gonna happen in the future or whatever, but I don't wanna wish nothing on myself or nothing like that. But if anything else like that happens, I just ain't got no choice. I'm just gonna have to go ahead and look for another alternative, because I'm not gonna take that stuff. But you never know what.
And it's not. It's not about speaking nothing bad on yourself. That can't happen. That's an untruth. Whatever happens is written in God's book for it to happen. We just have to deal with it the best way we can. But yeah, that chemo has not been good. And out of all the chemo they've been doing, the chemo is so strong it kills the bad cells and the good cells. Both of them at the same time. So now, once you can kill the bad cells, your body can't fight off a simple cold.
Right.
So I don't think they keep trying that chemo, and for years and years I've had family members and friends die of that chemo, and that's not good.
Uh-huh.
So, you know the Autorama is supposed to be coming up this weekend. They canceled it, Phil, after all this time, me geeked up, ready to go. And I know my boy Big Mark, Hawaii Jake, and his grandson and Zulkanye's grandson was geared up, waiting to go. So as soon as I get Big Mark, yeah, they canceled because of the COVID stuff, man.
Oh, my God. God. I thought it was supposed to be outside.
So soon as I get.
I thought it was supposed to be outside or something.
No, they ain't got no room for it outside. They still having it at the same place. It's just they had it in the summer months as opposed to the winter months.
Oh. Wow.
And right about now would be a good time, too.
Oh, yeah. It's starting to be a disaster, boy.
You know how many people were geared up, probably ready to go, and then all of a sudden they canceled it, I think, a week ago.
I'm so glad you said something, because I so forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I'm like,
you're
trying to make this doggone race. I just forgot the most important. Shoot, I always try to make the dog on
the Autorama.
I go there for, you know, definitely for the cars and everything, muscle cars and stuff. But they got this candy shop. I call it a candy shop. It's just this, but it's a tool area.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know you're talking about where you buy tools.
Shit, I load up.
Yeah, I can't pass out on that place neither.
Can't pass out. I bought so much stuff and use it too. I think the most valuable tool so thus far that I bought was those They call them retractable tees. You know, that
retractable
what you call it? I think they call it T-gauges. T-gauges, you know, to measure the inner diameter of a cylinder.
Yeah, the T-gauge.
Man, them stuff is coming in handy, especially when you want to figure out your oil clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to measure oil the clearance between the crank journal and the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could use a dial bore gauge if you don't have a dial bore gauge. Hey. That G gauge works in handy too.
You got a veneer caliper also?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Had some of them, got some stamps. Cause, you know, like the stamps that I had was just the numbers. These suckers messed
mm-hmm.
around and had the letters. Oh man. $5.
Yeah, they got I bought probably about two sets from them. But you know, them same people used to be at the state fairground.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, same people. They just found a bigger audience at the Cobo Hall.
Yeah. I can never pass up that doggone place. Find out exactly where they at. Hurry up, get over there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
go ahead.
Matter of fact, they had the dial bore gauge that I wanted. When I couldn't get it, I ain't have enough money on me. I'm like, golly, they was brand new in the case. $50.
What?
I couldn't get it.
Uh-huh. Hold on one second, Phil. Hold on one second. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I I wanted to go to that race out in Memphis, but it turned out it ended up raining out, so a lot of people was kind of geared to go down there, but didn't have enough good weather for the weekend, so they ended up canceling out Saturday.
Yeah, I heard it was a lot of people. Trying to make their way to go down there, and I mean driving from all over the place to get there, and it rained out. Golly.
Yeah, last year the weather was good. It turned out pretty good, and the year before, it's a good little area, good little track, and it's grudge friendly. So it turns out pretty good, but, you know, Mother Nature and rain kicks in. We can't be mad at it. We just have to go with the flow. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, and before we get off this, go too further, you know, I want to pay my respects. You know, we lost two main influences. One guy, you know, DMX. They sent him home. I mean, they you know, much respect to the guys that prepared the funeral arrangements and everything. I mean, they shed New York down. I mean, shed it down. I don't know. I don't think it's New York. Yeah.
Was it New York?
I don't know. Well, I know they shut the city down. I mean,
I've seen a little bit of them before the show started. They were directing traffic, and they had motorcycles, cars, limousines, and everything.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And we also lost Shock G.
Who?
Shock G.
I didn't know him.
Yeah,
the humpy hump.
Yeah. The humpy dance, there's
no chance, dude,
hump back.
Oh, he died?
Yes, he did.
When was this?
He passed away. I want to say it's either this week or... this week or last week?
Was it before DMX or after DMX?
It was after DMX.
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know he had died. Oh, Humpty Hump. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Mel. Hold on one second. We got somebody at the door. That's Melvin Coney. What's up, Melvin Coney?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, Digital
What's
Underground.
What's up with you, bro? Yeah, Digital Underground.
That rap is from Digital Underground, yeah.
Well,
he died after. He died this one day this week or something. Yeah.
Did they say from what?
No. They didn't say what it was from. DMX had, man. He had enough drugs in his system. He had heroin, fentanyl, not heroin, but fentanyl and cocaine and some other drugs, man, in there. He was loaded. The fentanyl probably would kill him, though.
What the hell is fentanyl?
It's a substitute for the heroin. To get them high, to do the same thing, kind of like what the heroin do, but it's like 30 or 40 times stronger.
Wow.
Well,
right.
Bro, yep. I hate to hear that, man. That guy there, he had, I never knew his name. All I knew was a Humpty Hump. Huh?
No, not Humpty Hump. The Digital Underground boy. I don't know where he died from. I'm talking about DMX.
That's what I'm saying. The Humpty Hump guy, I never knew his real name. All I remember is the song was the Humpty Hump.
All right. You know, Lil Carter and them, he messed his motor up today, man.
In the Mustang?
Yep, second pass.
Oh, man.
Wow.
His exact words is, fuck that car. I'm just hurt for my dad. This is way far.
He said,
the most excited
he said,
I ever seen my dad.
Wait a minute, you lost me. He said, F that car and what, his dad?
It just hurt. I'm hurt for my dad. You know, he hurt because his dad put all that money in it. It blew up on the second pass. The ride out.
Oh, man. Oh,
yep.
Man.
Yep. But that's a part of the sport. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it is.
You know it.
Yeah, it is, bro.
Anything can happen. Yep.
Right.
Okay, that's
like,
a tough one.
Like one guy told me, the motor's going to break. You can bet your last stop, that motor's going to break. Now, how are you going to fix it is the problem.
Kyle Holbrook, warranty used to be, and it's back in the 70s. His warranty was 10 feet or 10 seconds. Whichever comes first. Yep. So you know that was a rough warranty. 10 feet or 10 seconds. Whichever one comes first. Yep. But, yeah, I hate that happened to the boys. Yep.
Oh, not that. No one wants to drive you, right?
Wait a minute. What's the name? Had Monte Carlo on today?
I'm back. They say Tim. Tim with the Monte Carlo. The blue
Tim.
Monte Carlo was out of
Tim.
Look
here.
I don't think he owns that car anymore, though. I don't think.
What'd you say?
I was just talking
to... I'm sitting here looking at pictures of it.
Yeah, I was just talking to World about that. Big Tony Sammy's son, he said he sold the car, and he tried to buy it back, and he wouldn't sell it to him. He made a nice little pass, though. That was the last pass he did. I came down there for, like, right at the end. And he went down through there.
So Tim don't have a car no more.
Well, it looked like they had a nice car up there today.
So Tim don't have a car no more.
That's what I'm hearing. I remember he was trying to sell the car a while back.
I remember he was trying to sell it.
So whoever got it now, I don't know the guys. It's a whole different group. I know Tim wasn't there. There's a whole different group that got the car. It's got a different hood on it. Different hood group on it. Really
yeah, it's just like a...
Wait,
I was looking at that hood again. I'm trying to get back to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it got an L88 hood on it.
And the crazy thing is, I never seen that car run until today.
Yeah.
He didn't like the
performance. I ain't never seen it run. I've always seen it at a car show, but I never seen it run go down the track.
Right. That was a sight for me. haven't seen it run to the day, but it made a nice clean pass though. I didn't like how they had him in the water. I think they had the guys, if the guys had him in the water too deep, because it sounded like when he did the burnout, he kind of over revved the motor.
What size engine he got in there? Is it a big block or small block?
That's a big block.
Yeah, well. Oh, car, the boy hurt that car. I know they wasn't liking that.
No, because his dad put a lot of money into that car, man. And
I know, he was soaking money into that sucker.
A lot. Yep. And for it to kick the rod out on the second run and didn't have a nitrous on.
Damn. Wow.
Yep. Yep. What? They die hard races. They'll be back.
Well, fellas, I'm putting this trash together. Just wish me luck. That's 400. I got all my stuff. I've been online getting all the compression, the spring compressors and everything, putting the seals in there, and, put the seals on all the pistons and everything. I got to go and get my valve body and everything, and then I'll finish up on it. Learned a lot. Not going to lie about that. I'm not going to say it's something extremely new. I have dipped off into transmissions a little bit. But I think this time I've gone a little further. But I actually like it. It's, you know, once you get a hang of what you're looking at and understand what drum does what and what band does this or that. You know, the book that I got, it's like, well, Shake, you already know how I am as far as, you know, you got to actually show me what you're talking about besides putting all this extra numbers and flow charts and this and that going into stuff. And this book that I got, I mean, it's like, it's for me, I like it because it dumbs it down for, like, people that, you know, have a little problem understanding what you're talking about as far as the tech goes, you know, technology goes. But the book that I got is called, How to Rebuild a Turbo 400, Rebuild and Modify a Turbo 400. And it's from S.A. Books, I think it's called. But the guy that's narrating, the guy is spot on a lot of stuff, says everything, dumps it completely down for you. If you don't understand it, he's giving you different references. You know, really do.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Mute your mic for a second, Melvin. I got a special guest on the show. One of our legends of the Motor City races. He go back a long way. Mr. Carter Sr. How you doing, Mr. Carter?
I'm doing well. I'm just a little down and out because of what happened to the car today. And it was something that I didn't think should have happened on a second motor pass, babying it. And I'm just still a little sad and then working hard trying to get it out there this weekend and had an engine problem. A rod came loose went through the pan, not the hole in the pan, on a motor run.
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Second run on a new motor.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Carter. I know you've been around a long time. You've been racing for many years. I know you spent a lot of money into these cars. The first car you had, or the second car, I remember the second car, now this one.
Yeah.
But God, is it, can you teach us or tell us something we can do to prevent, how can you prevent something like that? Is this the problem of the engine builder?
Well, I feel if the engine dealer do his job and you got a motor with four stages of notches, a 5-inch bull's face motor, and you go out there and you run it on motor because it's a notches motor, you don't want to leave the line on the trans brake because of the type of converter you got. So you foot brake it and you run it down through there and check everything. In the first run, everything was fine. We came back, pulled the plugs out of it and checked them, and they looked good. We put a new set back in there, went to make another motor pass, and that's when the rod came through the pan. If that run had worked out okay, what we was going to do was we're going to come back on the third run, and we was going to shoot a 250 shot in it. We were going to use all four stages of three. We're just going to use one, and then we were going to call it a day until the next race. But that didn't happen. It ended up throwing that rod on the second pass.
Oh, man. Do it look like it's anything savable, or
well,
y'all haven't tore it down yet?
One thing good about it is we don't think we hurt the motor bad. One of the reasons we don't think
because it came out the pan.
Yeah. Well, what we did, we pulled the valve covers on both sides, and we bumped the motor over with the bump switch, and everything upstairs on the head was fine.
The valve train was working.
Right, so it didn't do no damage to that. The damage is in the bottom end. We don't know how bad it is, but we do know a rod came loose because you can see the, you know, where your bottom part of your rod bolt onto the long
part.
Right. That's sticking through the pan.
Man. Well,
yeah. I don't think it's nothing real bad. And, I called the engine builder just before you called me. I was on the phone when you called, and I was able to catch your call. He told me to pull it out and bring it back to him, and he'll see what's going on and try to get it fixed for me, and he'll work out something with me.
Okay.
So I should be able to get back out there sometime soon.
Let me ask you a question. Is this your major, your main engine builder? You've been with him for a while, or is he somebody new?
Somebody knew I had a Paz engine builder, and I had lift the ring lid because we pushed the notches down too low. Luke Carter was told the way the track was that day to push the notches down to 650 pounds of pressure. He did it, and he turned on three stages, and when the third stage come on, it popped, and it lift the ring lid. So the engine builder that I was dealing with at the time, I took the motor to him to repair. After he repaired it and I got it back, I put it in the car. First run down the track, it blew the rear seal out and almost crashed the car because oil got under the tires. I took it back to him, paid him another $800, and he's supposed to have been sealed it up. So I made a couple passes on it. I made four passes. It's right at the end of the season. I made a total of four passes on the motor. The one that blew the seal out, and I made two more passes. And end of the season was there, so I waited until the next season. The first race at 131, I went down there, and on the first pass off the trailer, it threw a rod. So on the fifth pass, it threw a rod. So what I did, I changed engine builders because I didn't think that should have been happening, the problem I was having.
Right.
I went to CP Racing. I was told that he was a pretty good engine guy. He was doing Jimbo motors and whatnot and at the time. So I took it to him, and he did the motor, and that's what I ended up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have one motor. The fifth run, the first run, it threw out the rear field. The fifth run, it threw a rod. I had to put a, completely rebuild it. All new rods and everything, new spring cam, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I threw that rod, and I took it to a different engine builder, and I got two run this time. And these was on motors, not nozzles. It wasn't that we were making a hard run, you know, using the stages.
Now, this engine builder you got now, somebody referred you to him, or you just
somebody referred me to him. And another thing that kind of encouraged me to go to him was, I said, Jimbo running a 900 some cubic inch motor, and if he trusts his guy to do his motor, he should be able to do my motor. And I also was told that some of the guys out of Detroit was getting their motor built by him. So I figured I was dealing with a good engine builder.
Right.
But then later on, before I got my motor back, I found out that Jimbo was having a lot of engine problems, and he switched engine dealers and went to his original engine dealer.
Man. Well, ain't no preventative to that. You just have to find a decent one, and sometimes you make mistakes going to them trying to find one.
Well, here was my thing. Guess what Lookout said?
What?
Lookout said, Dad, when you get ready to do this motor, we ain't fooling with a couple of good engine builders around. I can't think of the guy's name that do 6 mile random motor. I can't think of his name right off. But Lookout, no, I mean, he mentioned his name. He's a hell of an engine builder. He did some killer motors. He said, we'd have to go to him. I'll take it to who originally built the motor, which is Gene Fulton. The motor I got is a Gene Fulton 5-inch bullspace motor.
Uh-huh.
So he said, we're going to have to take it to Gene Fulton or take it to this guy that do random motors.
Yeah, because, I know I build my own engines, but I know it's very expensive. And it's a lot going into these engines, and a mechanic got to have, wants to try to keep a good reputation amongst his people, because bad news travels fast. If you get somebody to build an engine and they stay together and it's consistent, they get some passes out of it and win some money, it looks good. But when something go to breaking, and especially like after two passes, that's not good. That's not good. That don't work.
Well, the engine bill I had before him, that while the rear seal came out, I had took a 706 to him, and he built it. I ran it for 2 or 3 years, never had a problem, sold it to a guy in Mississippi, and he's still running it, and they had no problem with it. But later, after I took the second motor, I changed motors after I sold that one, and I took the second motor to him, and that's when I had a problem with him, and I decided to go to a different one. And now the one I just went to, I had this problem today.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Come on in. Come on in, Phil.
Oh, okay, on this motor, when you purchased this motor, has this motor ever ran? Or how did you buy this motor that you got now?
This motor came from a guy out of Canada that was running the Pro Mod. He had it on the Pro Mod, was running it. He had just freshened it up when I got it. And I ran it for a couple of years. We lifted rain legs. What happened, someone told Lookout to put it down to 650 pounds of pressure, because the way the track was, he wasn't going to be able to get down through there unless he do that. And he did it, and it hurt the motor. And everybody I talked to, every engine builder, said, if you shooting 2 or 3 stages and you put that motor down that low, because we had been running no lower than 950 pounds of pressure or 975. And he put it down to 650 pounds of pressure, and it hurt the motor. And then after we took it back to the original engine builder that had built the one I sold, then I started having problems with that engine.
Okay.
So
let me get something straight here.
You mentioned that somebody told him to purge it down to 600 and some odd PSIs, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, when the pressure gets that low, you don't have much of a mist no more. You get more nitrous in the system than you do than you do a mist.
Right.
Am I correct?
Right. Everybody I talk to say if you shoot two or three stages of nitrous in that motor and you got that
pressure real low.
Real low, you're gonna hurt the motor.
Mm-hmm.
And we did hold it on that road.
When he started purging the bottle, it was at 900. He took it from 900 down to 650.
We had it at 950 pounds of pressure. When he bagged up, I was on the passenger side working the door, letting the smoke out. And this gentleman came up and stooped down, opened the door, and stooped down. I didn't know what he was saying. He stooped down to look harder, and I noticed he was purging the motor so many times. And I'm saying, why are you purging the motor? And at the time, we had Joe Wheeler who was helping us on the starting line. Joe Wheeler went up and said something to the guy that was talking to Lil Carter. And I don't know what they said to each other, but Joe walked away and threw his hand. And after the run, Joe came over and told us. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, the way he put that motor down, you done hurt the motor. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that's what we had did. Lil Carter thought maybe he just, you know, was something wasn't right with the nitrous. So some guy wanted to grudge race us, and look, I said, oh, I can beat him on motor. He said, I'm going to run it on motor because the Dodgers is acting up. So he went out and ran this guy on motor, put about two or three cars on him, and it popped. And when it popped, he just shut it off. And that's when we took the motor out of it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you saying what I'm saying, Melvin?
Yeah, well, that purging that down, if he purged it down from 900 down to 650, they let all the damn nitrous out the damn bottle. They're pretty much running down through there with a bunch of fuel going in it.
He purged a whole bunch of times.
And,
he said that.
And you turned on three systems.
Yeah.
You got one bottle running all three of them systems?
No, we got two bottles.
Two bottles.
Yeah. One run, each bottle run two stages. It's a four-stage engine, but we don't hardly ever use the four stages. We just use three of them. So we use two, one bottle for two stages and one bottle for one stage.
Okay.
But before, the reason I switched engine builder in the past, because back when I was running the Trans Am and on the first Friday and run what you bring, I had an engine builder that had been doing a hell of a job. And if you want my opinion, he one of the best engine builders around Michigan. But what happened was I bought a motor from Big Drag, and it was built to run on motor.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to change it to nitrous. So I took it to him. He had been trying to sell me a car, and I didn't buy it. And I took the motor to him and told him I wanted him to completely change it over to nitrous. And I paid him about $5,500 to do it. And later on, I found out that what he did, he didn't do nothing to the motor. He pulled the heads off it and put $105,000 head gasket on it to bring the compression down so that I could use 250 horses of nitrous. So I stopped going to him, and that's when I went to the guy where I took it when the rear seal blew out.
Good God Almighty.
So I had three different engine builders, and each one of them, it was anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000, and things didn't work out right.
Man.
Yeah.
Corey,
doing a good job. So I got to come up with something. It probably cost me more money, but I'd rather have it did right. It'd be cheaper to do it right and pay a little bit more than to go to somebody ain't gonna do it right.
Right.
Yep.
That's just fitting them rides out like that. Something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they brand new ride.
Well, that's right. He told me he putting brand new rods in it. But when I picked the motor up, he gave me 3 used rods in a box, along with, you know, both bolts and stuff that I had. And I'm wondering, why did he give me 3 used rods? If he's going to give me the old rods, he should have given me all 8 of them.
Right.
He gave you 8
Come
of them.
Come on, man, Cora.
I don't know. I called him up. I called him up before you called me. And he told me to take it out and bring it to him. Don't even bother about looking at it. Bring it to him. And I'm wondering why he don't want me to check it out before I bring it to him.
Well,
I would definitely take a look.
I would take a look at it.
I'm going to pull the pan. I'm gonna pull it out the car and pull the pan and take a look at it and see what's going on in the bottom end.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can you do that with him present?
Well, if I took the motor to his shop and have him
tear it down,
while I'm there, and have him to tell me what went on and why this happened and whatnot, but I was going to take a look at it and see if he put new rods in it, because I was told that on those GPR rods, if you order a set of those, they normally give you 10 rods. And I was told today that even after I had it built, if he put all 8 of the rods in there, he should have been able to give me 2 new rods.
Possible.
Correct. You should have got back regardless.
I would suggest call him up and ask him, when you bring the engine to him, can we tear it down immediately and look inside?
Okay, I'll do that.
Because I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm saying that is because if he built it from the beginning and you tear it down, you might throw away some evidence laying around that he might need to see.
Right. I wasn't going to take none of it apart. All I was going to do is, okay, that rod is sticking partly through the pan. You can see the rod through the pan. The bottom part of the rod. All I was going to do was pull the pan and see what's under there. I wasn't going to take none of the bottom end or none of the heads or nothing off. But I was just going to pull the pan. And I might still do that. Pull the pan and put it back on and then take it to him.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were going to tear the whole thing down.
No, I wasn't going to do that.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, because, see, some mechanics get a little funny about us touching the engine. They want to see what damage it was, and maybe they can find some evidence of what caused it. Or sometimes they might try to hide where they fucked up at.
Right.
So if you're there at the same time, you can see it and he can see it.
Right.
And he can't throw the blame nowhere else. He might say Melvin must have did this, or Melvin been in there. You know, just hypothetically.
Right.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah,
how much stroke
I couldn't wait to get back. Huh?
How much stroke is in it?
Say?
Got a lot of stroke in
I'm
it?
A stroke.
Stroke
it's
on
over
the
900. Car. Yeah, I think it's, if I remember right, it's over. I ain't got the paperwork in front of me, but I think the stroke was, it had a hell of a stroke in it.
Oh,
and another thing, when I got ready for to freshen it up, we needed a camshaft, so we called Gene Fulton to send us the exact same cam. He told me that they had came out with a cam for that motor, and it would make more power. The only thing was I would have to change the valve springs in the cam. So I had him to send me the new cam and the new valve springs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know he told me, I had gave him a deposit when I took him the motor, and then later on he called me and told me he needed $1,500 to order the rod. So I took him $1,500 to order the rod, and then I paid him the rest of the money when I picked it up. When I took it to him, I gave him $2,500. He called me up and said he needed $1,500. I took him the $1,500, and when I picked it up, I paid another $1,500, so it was a total of $5,500.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, look like you can't, you can't do nothing until you let him look at it, tear it down, and see what's going on, because a ride ain't supposed to give away that easy.
Right, especially,
especially on the second pass.
A brand new rod and on the motor, and I could see if we had a ton on two or three stages and something like that went down, but just making a motor pass, a 9-second run with a motor capable of running 450, that motor run 450.
Right.
And we only made a 9-second run. He brake-talked it, had a 138 60 feet on a brake, foot brake.
Foot brake.
Yeah. In fact, he went down the track with Batmobile. Batmobile nicked him out on that run that we broke the motor.
Yeah. So it ain't your fault, because it ain't you putting a whole lot of pressure onto it.
No,
you hadn't even got there yet. The engine should be holding up.
We had flowed the gas pressure. We had checked that out and put new plugs in and everything. Yep. And we were going to make that run. Then we were going to flow the nitrous, and we were going to use a 250 shot on the third run, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see how that play out. I'll probably be in your ear a couple of times trying to find out what was the outcome of that, Mr. Carter, because I don't.
Okay, give me a couple of weeks and I should be able to let you know something, because I want to get back out there. I got to get it back together. And like I said, whatever happened, it happened in the bottom end. And another thing, what Luke Carter told me, when he seen all the oil run out of it and everything, he spent the motor over, which we didn't do no more. He said he spent the motor over, and the motor spent over free, didn't make no noise or nothing.
Okay.
So it might not be nothing too bad, even though the rod condition was too bad. I'm hoping it didn't do nothing to the man on the crank or anything. And I know it didn't do nothing to the cam, because we took the setting on the valve, and all that was in order.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's too bad, even though that rod came a little. Yep. So I got this. It's happened the early part of the season, so I should be able to get back out there a little later on.
Well, I hope so, and hope everything work all right for you. I just hope that he find out what the problem is. You know, in this game, we don't like to throw fingers, point the finger at nobody, saying that they did this bad. But we do know in this game, it's costly. And things do happen.
Yeah, and it's not the idea that you can't hurt your motor on the first run, even though you just had it built, you know. But stuff like that happens. And I just got to wait to see what the deal is and what went wrong and go from there.
Right. Well, you're a good sportsman of it. I'm respecting the way your attitude is. So some guys would be huffing and puffing and said every cuss word in the book.
I told him what happened and whatnot, and he told me to get it out and bring it to him, and he check it out, and he'll work out something with me as far as fixing it. So that's where we at.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I just, you know, it's a hurting thing when you tear up an engine, break an engine. It's almost like losing a loved one.
Oh, yeah.
It's hurting because you think about the money and the time that you can spend into it, and you do the same thing with a life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah. And, you know, I've been doing this for so long, and there's so much money into cars. I started racing in 66, and I've pretty well been racing ever since. And I always had a nice car that was capable of going out there running in the class that I wanted to have it in with the best. I never had a car that I couldn't run with the top guys around and whatnot. I ran that first Friday with Sloan and Dietrich them for 7 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to qualify and be one of the 8 fastest cars that show up there.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you was one of the true legends. That's why I give you carte blanche on the show, because you, Doc James, Mr. Willie, and several other people are legends, and we look up to y'all when it comes to racing, Mr. Carter, because y'all been through a lot and y'all know a lot. So I got total respect for all of y'all.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man.
Total respect.
Thanks a lot.
Now,
yeah,
if I, could...
I was looking forward to one of the big grudge races, and we had went out, and they got a grudge race they have at Lapeer where you got to have an all-steel car, and they run 16 cars, and some of them running as fast as high 30s and 40s, and we was planning on getting in that class.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting to get my doors painted. I had already had them gutted and everything ready to go on the cars and get them painted, and then this happened. And guess what? Yesterday I ordered a set of double bead locks, because the bead locks I got on there are single bead locks. And when these cars start running the kind of numbers my car should be running, it ain't too safe running a single bead lock. So
okay.
I just ordered a set a couple of days ago.
Same thing
when
I got mine.
Get the wheels
and
put them on the
same thing.
Yeah. Hey, one thing though, Mr. Carter, you put them on a broke car. You ain't got to worry about messing them up.
Yeah.
You ain't got to send them back in the box.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I said to myself, boy, if I had broke the motor before I bought those wheels, I'd have hold on to that money. Them wheels cost me $2,400. I said,
ooh.
I would hold on to that money to put cars to get my motor fixed.
Right.
Yeah.
Good God almighty.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we in this game. That's part of the consequences that we deal with.
Oh yeah, you know, I done had crashes. You know, I bought a 68 Camaro from Shorty that used to work at Noah's shop. Noah and Shorty had a green 68 Camaro, and I bought it from Shorty, and I bought it in January, and we went to Selma, Alabama, and I had Doc James drive it for me, and a guy crossed the center lane and hit it, and the car went off the track and hit a tree and totaled it. Stuff like that, you know.
When was this?
Oh, that was quite a few years ago. That was back when Hal Martin and Houston Martin, us used to go down, and we had the North against the South. That's when we had all the Michigan guys out of Flint and different Saginaw. Billy,
yeah.
All of us used to get together. We had 10 to 15 cars, and we used to go down there and race against Mr. Five Speed. But the Five Speed would get 8 or 10 cars together, and we would have a race called the North against the South. Now they got a thing going where they have a race called the North against the South, but we did that over 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hey, Mr. Carter, it takes Doc to tell
you
the story to tell the story. That man was narrating his butt off. I remember that story you talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
At the track too. He told me he got a grudge race with somebody.
Hold on.
He got one with Melvin
Cotton
right here on the show. Okay, he told me he had one locked in for 131.
Yep, that's what he's racing me. Yep.
He just told me that today.
Yep. I'm just sitting waiting on the date to get here.
Hey, Mr. Collins, what you got?
Who I got?
Say what?
Well, I have to go with the guy that I'm talking to now. The reason I would go with him, you got to keep your cars on the ground. Drop be too high, will stand, and that's going to hurt you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that wheel.
Hello?
He's going to lose his teeth.
Hey. Doc J.
Yeah.
How you doing? You on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. You can hang up now, or you can raise the white flag up if you want to. But we got two legends on the show.
Two what?
We got two legends on the show. We got you and Mr. Carter on the show.
Got who?
Mr. Carter.
Carter? Oh, yeah, I seen him today.
Mr. Carter said you drove his 68 Camaro down in Alabama years ago.
Yeah, when I went in the new trees.
was that the time I saw you down south, or was that before then?
I don't know what that was. That was back in there. That was some years ago. That was
15 to 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was in the
90s,
man.
Got across the center
of
the lane. Oh, okay. We was grudge racing a guy in the Nova, and Doc spent the time, got back in it, and just as Doc was passing him, he crossed the center lane and hit Doc in the rear quarter, and the car got sideways and went off the track, hit a bank. It was like a little ditch there. Hit that ditch and went airborne and hit a tree. Hit it that tree about 10 feet in air, didn't it, Doc?
About 20 feet in air.
I thought you was afraid of heights, Doc.
It was high. I didn't have no say so.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a car back then. At the time when we got that car, only night that car was capable of running 830. It was a hell of a car.
What, that was a Camaro? The Camaro you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Camaro. It was green. And I changed the color a little bit. I made it green and white and put King Red on it. The name on it was King Red.
Bring it to get it. I know it. I told you, man. That's why I don't drive nobody else's car. I've been in every time I get in somebody else's car, something happens. I got my brother's car.
That wasn't your fault. That wasn't your fault, Doc. That wasn't your fault.
I know
it was the other guy's fault.
I know that. See, something happened.
Well, you say you get jinxed every time you drive somebody's car, huh, Doc?
Huh?
You get jinxed with somebody when you drive somebody else's car.
The guy left the boat out of the wreck. This thing come off a good steer with the slippers.
Damn. Yeah, Doc, you was in some Mission Impossible situation.
Huh?
I said you was in some Mission Impossible situation.
Yes.
I hear you made it home.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but that second pass we made on the motor, a rod came through the pan.
Yeah,
we ended up breaking the motor today.
My motor told me that.
Yeah.
Man, that motor, who's doing them motors, man?
Huh?
Who's doing them motors? They're only supposed to come apart like that.
I know. When it comes apart before I had it fixed this time, it shouldn't have happened on the fifth run. And
yeah.
Last time I had went to the CP race. I got with him, and he want me to get the motor back to him, and he's going to check it out.
Yep.
Well, no, you're going to take that out this week, ain't you?
Happy to one guy by the South Corner Bell.
Yeah, we're going to try to pull it out this week, and I'm going to get it back to him. I want to get back out there.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know what it is. Whatever. I don't know. It's better, though.
Did when that Carter went off, did that turn that call down at the Bay Carter? Got loose and over there. All that dust was down. Did that somebody turn that call today or what? Down on the big end.
I don't know. I was over. Yeah, I knew they had an incident down there, but I was over in the pits. I didn't see it. I know who it was or anything. Yep. They had a big turnout up there today, didn't it, Doc?
Yeah, they had quite a bit of spectators. I don't know, but they were running cars back-to-back today.
Yeah, and they had a lot of guys showing up with these Hellcats and whatnot and Cadillacs and stuff with these high performers and Turbo Motors and stuff. And that's what we had. Most of the cars there was, you know, those type of cars, new cars.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to try to get back out there as soon as I can. Huh?
Old Black Noble made a good pass.
Yeah. That Black Noble wanted us, tell you the truth, what we were supposed to do was he wanted us to make a run with him and put on a show for the spectators. And we were going to, after we made that second run, we were going to turn the Nigers on and make a pass with him. And it didn't happen because we hurt the motor. But we was going to run that Black Noble with the twin turbo.
Yeah.
We was going to give him a run. Yeah, we was going to give him a run. He had got in touch with Luke Carter and told him he wanted to make a pass with him.
Oh, okay.
He didn't say nothing about betting no money or nothing. He just said he wanted to make a pass with the pace car for the spectators. You know, what they call that Mustang we ran? That Mustang we ran out of Detroit.
Which one?
What's the name of the car you got on there? What do you got?
Batmobile.
Batmobile.
Yeah, that's
good. Batmobile, Junior said on that last run when he broke the motor, Batmobile nicked him by a fender. And when I was walking on the starting line, guys went to holler, "Hey, Young Money, put it on Pace Car, Luke Carter." You know what I told him? I told him when Luke Carter come back around and we pull the car down, he had the back tires in the lead. I was on all three of them. A car like that, I can get the bad guys in the league.
Right.
Yeah, I know the numbers that, you know, we've been running with that motor. But he said, "No, man, I just kidding. I ain't going to run that car. I know how that car runs." And I didn't know we had hurt the car.
Yeah. And they didn't know what you had, really, Mr. Carter. So they was talking. They was about to get themselves in some trouble.
Well, he thought that on the run when we lost the Batmobile that we were spraying the car and whatnot. He foot braked it and left the line slow on a foot brake. He didn't use the trans brake, and we didn't use nothing. So, and still he barely beat it. So, that's what I told him. I said, "You get the back tire."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's all in races, the kind of stuff that go on and stuff that happens. I was told, I don't know if you guys heard about it or not, but, you know, Jimbo has got a bad car. He put up some big numbers. But when he first put that car together last year, I was told just about every time he went to the track, he was hurting the motor. And the same guy that did my motor was doing his motor. So what Jimbo did this year, Jimbo went back
to the original engine builder and start getting his motor dead, and he had no problem breaking the motor system.
Yeah, like I say, we don't want to point no fingers at nobody and call somebody out, but mechanics are human too. They can make mistakes.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they do the best they can. It's just that some engine builders are better than others.
True.
And it's up to you to go to the best one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I never dealt with the engine builder before, so I didn't know who was the best. I would report to the engine builder, and I went to him, and I'm going to have to take it back to him and try to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like I said, get back with me in a few weeks. I'll let you know what's going on and what I'm up to.
Hey. Hey, Top Gang.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do? How do you get paid from a park out if you get rained out?
If you get rained out,
Ain't no park out.
Okay. So we had that was a race that went down in Memphis today or this weekend, and there was a whole lot of bets. And, you know, because the rain out was Saturday and not Friday, people that got in Friday, I guess they got paid or whatever, but come Saturday, they canceled the race, and nobody gets paid.
So
if you lock in a race with somebody, Mr. Carter, and you show up at the race, but the other party didn't show up and it rained, the same thing goes, right?
The guy didn't show up.
He's supposed to show up just like you, and the race would have been off, and nobody loses his lock-in. But if he didn't show up at all, even though it rained, and the other guy showed up, he's still supposed to pay that guy the park out.
Yes, the other car.
I heard that from Levin.
Okay, now this scenario here happened years ago. I'm going to give you an example. I'm not going to call their names, but it was two guys from Detroit who were supposed to race in Holly Springs. Let's say, for example, me and Melvin are going to go down there and race. We got a lock-in race, 500 on 2,000 or better.
Right.
Now, Melvin decides to stay because he see on the TV is saying the chances of rain. But I go down there. I make it to the track. And it started rain, but it stopped and cleared up.
Mm-hmm.
So who gets paid?
Well, what he should have did was, if he knew it was supposed to be rain in the forecast, he should have contacted the person he had to lock in with and say, hey, look, I want to call that race off, and neither one of us lose the lock in because I don't want to take a chance of coming all the way down there and it's rain in the forecast. And if the guy don't go along with it and say whether it rain or not, you got to show up or pay the money, and he should pay the money or go.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have made that decision before leaving, going down south. Now, these two particular guys didn't make the decision or call each other, and one went down there, and the other one didn't. He was scared to go travel all that far. Because of the rain forecast. So when the other guy got down there, he said, okay, you owe me a park out. And the other person should have paid.
No, it ain't his way. Because it was in the count the other day here. He booped for his ass up there.
Well,
I had an incident with a lock-in. I had a guy, I was locked in at Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Pontiac. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, he called me and told me that he wasn't going to be able to make that race, and he wanted to know if he could reschedule for next weekend. And I was talking to a friend of mine that was sitting in front of my house in his truck. I
mm-hmm.
said, I want you to tell him what we're doing. He's okay, put him on the phone. And we agreed to lock that race in to next weekend. And this is what I found out later. When he called me and wanted to cancel the race, he was in the process of putting somebody else's motor in his car, and they didn't have it ready to run that day. But they messed around and got the motor in the car, went up to Milan about 6 o'clock in the evening, unloaded the car, went in the water to do a bun out, and broke the motor. When he broke the motor, he called me about 6:30 after we done canceled the race the next weekend and tell me, if you don't show up at Milan this evening, you're going to owe me the lock-in money.
Oh, no, 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 he did.
Yeah, he did. And I told him, you're full of shit. I got a witness that you scheduled the race for next weekend, and you think I'm going to try to come out to the track at 6:30 in the afternoon, and I got to load the car up and do all that and get out there sometime tonight? No. And then later on, I find out from somebody that was at the track that when he got there and went in the water to do a bun out, he broke the motor. Yeah. And he hasn't run the car since. It's still set.
Now, how many years ago was that, Mr. Carter?
That was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. Was he a young cat or an older cat?
Well, he's about 50. Yeah, everybody know him if I call his name.
we want to know his name.
Okay, his name is Stutterbug.
Stutterbug.
Yeah.
Not Stutterbug.
Yeah.
God damn. Stutterbug trying to play some okie-doke games with you.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
He do that to tell everybody.
Man, I didn't think Stutterbug was like that.
Well, he's been talking about Ray Lee for the last 5 or 6 years. And I told him, whenever he raised me with his Mustang, he got the back tires in the lead. He told me he done bought him a 632. He put it in the car this summer. And I told him, when I get my car ready, he got the back tires in the lead.
What you do? Put it in the bag and wash it off.
You didn't wash it off because it's still shut.
It's
still shut.
You please
doing
the show?
Yeah.
I bought it
and stuff
too.
You
don't lie.
Mm-hmm. But Stutterbug and me is cool with each other. He pulled that on me. And I told him, I said, if me and you lock in any race, we're going to have a middleman to hold the money.
Yeah. Somebody got a TV playing in the background. Cut the TV off. But I'm gonna tell you something, Mr. Carter. What we've been doing and what we've learned on these shows is we have a DP man, and the DP man is the referee between the two races. You tell him the tip. You tell him where you're gonna race at. You tell him how much. You give him all the information. He writes it down, and the shows are recorded, so we can go back and say, oh, you said such and such. No, I didn't. Well, the shows are recorded.
Right.
So that way, they can't run no game on you.
Right, and that's what I told Stutterbug. I said, in the future, if we lock in anything, we're going to have a middleman, and he's going to hold the money. I ain't going to, take your word for it. Like, oh, that lock-in me and him had, we didn't put up no money. It was just a lock-in on the phone, and that's what we was locking in for. And it was only $300. So I told him, $300, forget it. Go ahead and keep it. I said, I'm glad it's on the wood, because if it hadn't been more than $500, you'd have to come up with something. That's what I told him.
Right. fight. You didn't care nothing about the $300.
No, I let it go because I've been going to the guy. He's a good guy, you know. He comes by my house. Sometimes we have dinner with him. We cool. But that's what he did to me. He laughed about it when I beat him.
Gracious.
But old Doc got smart. Old Doc got him a DP man for his race coming up next month.
Yeah, that's the way to go. You should do that. Everybody in the lock in a race should have a somebody holding the money involved in how you got it set up. That's the best way to do it, and that way it don't be no argument later. Because the man that's holding the money and DP man, he's going to go by what he had been told and how it was set up.
Yep. Now, when did all this mess start coming into play, Doc James? Years ago, y'all didn't have to do all this. DP man, the man's word was his bond.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. If I ain't in all that old junk like that, no way. Well, that's why I don't get on these shows. I ain't in all that old bull crap talking because they ain't nothing running your lips. They ain't putting up no money. I don't want to
Well, see, on this show, we ain't got nobody to be. We don't let the people on here with this lip changing and cussing and fussing about a bunch of doggy bags that they talking about. We on here trying to educate. I have the legends on here, you and Mr. Carter, to educate, talk, and teach. I got a bunch of people on this board that's listening. Brother Tank, he's on here somewhere, and he can't push the one button. But it's to educate these guys and show them what the best route and the best way to go about doing stuff. And you can't get that no more than from legends. So we don't do all that. You smack talking. You do a little bit of, you know, I can beat you, but, huh?
It ain't going to do much good because all they want to do is talk junk.
Yeah, and they feel like the talking junk
they lock
is
in
the
with
priority
people
of the show.
And they can change their mind anytime because they ain't lost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got involved in this good racing when I got this Mustang. In the past, I've always ran for the track money and good classes, like First Friday, Top Sports, bracket racing, you name it. And what happened is, good racing got pretty hot back here a few years back, and I bought the Mustang, and what my son had said, Dad, I want a good race for one season, and then we'll go back to running on First Friday and drag radio. And after we start doing the good racing and shootout, I liked it, and I decided to stick with the good racing. And I never had no problem with the good racing because I never had nothing locked in where it was locked in ahead of time. I'd be at the track and somebody come up and say, hey, you want to run for 500? You want to run for a couple hundred? And then we go out and run. That was it.
Oh, I'm talking about the one.
Hold on. So, Mr. Carter.
Yeah.
The white car, was that a Firebird or what kind of car was that?
A white car.
When that car white, the one that the door fell out at Milan.
Oh no, it was red, yellow. Red and yellow, and it was called. It was a Trans Am, and it was called the Prosecutor.
Trans Am.
That was Rick Jones' first NHRA Pro Stock car back in the old days.
Okay.
Yeah. I ran into Rick Jones at Milan when we were all those guys up there, and I talked to him. He came over and looked at the car, and he was telling me how good the car was and how it was.
DOT's number was 3606.
When I retired, I traded it for a Z06 Corvette because I was getting out of racing. And then I thought about it. I had grounded my son, and he had to drive it since he was 16. So then he told me to buy the Mustang.
Yeah.
You get too old.
Listen, they don't want to let y'all go. Come over to somebody else's house. They look at TV. Mr. Shake.
On the phone. Yeah.
I'm not gonna let y'all go, but I'm over somebody else's house and they get the TV.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We got somebody want to talk to you. 310-8232. Your mic is open.
You ready to go?
What's going on, everybody?
What's up? What's up, Tayo?
Oh, not much.
All right,
Hey, we got Doc James on the show. We got Mr. Carter, the two legends, legendary legends. Hey, Tao, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
All right, doctor.
All right.
You can barely hear me.
I can hear you. Shake and bake.
313. Yeah. 313-0738. Who we got, Carla?
That's Tank. Tank.
What up, Tank?
You hear me?
Yeah, we can barely hear you, man. We can barely hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I better say something. Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I had to call with another phone because my phone wasn't acting right. But what I want to say, and you know, I'm a rookie in racing, trying to learn. If I know it's going to rain at Norwalk, and I got a race with you, Shake and Bake, and we put up, we racing for $2,500, punk out money is $1,000, and I know it's going to rain that day. You really going to take my $1,000 and you know it's going to rain? That means I got to go get my trailer. I got to go get my car, put it in the trailer, hook it up to the duty, drive all the way to Norwalk for us because it's going to rain next week. Or if I don't drive, I'll get $1,000.
Can y'all hear?
Is that what you're telling me, Shake and Bake?
Can y'all hear him?
I can hear him.
Yeah, I can hear him. I can hear him.
Call the person that he had to raise luck into with and let him know that it's raining in the forecast and he want to cancel the race, and that would have been the end of it.
But
you hear that, Tank? You hear what
rain.
Mr. Carter said?
It's Saturday. We both know it's going to rain, and you're a legend, so I'm going to listen to you. But if we both know it's going to rain, we know what the weather called for. Ain't no use of me going to get my truck. Got to go get my trailer, load the car, and drive all the way to Norwalk, and we know it caused a 70% rain for Saturday.
Right.
We know it.
Did you hear him?
You shouldn't go, and I shouldn't go. We both know it's going to rain. We can do it next Saturday when we know it's not going to rain.
That's why you guys should get together,
yeah. You should call each other and say, hey, I can't make it. It's going to rain. Let's just do it another day.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's exactly what Mr. Carter said. What do you think, Doc?
That's what you have to do.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. And if he say you got to show up either way, then you show up. I mean, if he goes, they want you to go. If you don't go, then you have to pay. But if he goes, no one is going to run. Yes, that's just making you go too. Making you waste your time.
Right. That's why I said that don't make no sense. You make the people.
I know it
you
don't make no
go.
Sense, but some people do it like that.
All it takes is a phone call.
And y'all have to agree
yep.
on it. Y'all have to see on it.
You know, Shane, that's what we had to do for
I'm
Lena.
Not.
That's what we had to do for Lena. We had to go.
You have to agree on it.
Uncle Doc.
I hear you, boy. I hear you.
Dude, I get it on the wall. I took, now you know it's some people. You know it's some people that got cars that want to get on your wall. That want to get on your wall, and they won't even take their car to the track.
Well,
you, I'm your nephew. I've been knowing you since I was 13 and I'm 57. So
you want to get on the wall? Go to the track. Get a picture from the track. I don't
okay,
car getting on
the
wall while you're in no car show.
Okay, I've been to the track.
Well, you got a picture?
I got to get it.
Well, get a picture from the track.
That's what I'm talking about, Uncle. That's what I'm talking about. And that's why I say it's a lot of people, and they're going to be mad at me for saying this, but the point of the matter is you can't get on that wall. If you that wall is a legend. That wall is a legend. You hear what I'm saying?
The wall is for
racing. So it's a privilege to get on the wall. And the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, and I know some people are going to be mad at me, who you think you are, you a rookie. You're right, I am a rookie. But the two or three people that's on the phone with me right now are tired of them going to the track. All these years, and us younger guys need to start so they can see our car. Why is it that we don't have races with people, $5,000 people screaming at one another back and forth, this and that another? We need to take over from the lesson, and we can raise people for $500, $200, $300. You know what I'm saying? Or just showing up at the track to have a good time.
Right.
Uncle Josh and what's the name that's on the phone now? They've been doing this for years. When are we going to take over and they can see our cars run? And we can have fun. And they can sit back and tell us what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong.
You know, I don't have no $5,000 yet. The most I'm up there is a couple $1,000s. So, like you say, 500 has been many times. I've been 500, 300, 1,000.
But ain't it supposed to be?
Lock in the race.
Ain't it supposed to be us having fun with racing? Or is it like
right.
What we're doing?
That's what it's all about, having
said,
fun.
I thought it was a sport. And I'm a rookie, so I'm not trying to over-talk myself or talk too much and nothing like that because I need to learn everything I need to learn. That's why I'm a rookie. I ain't going to the track to tear up the car, but I'm going to the track to learn the car so I can race it, so I can have some fun.
You ain't got to race nobody for no money. Ain't nobody can't make you race. If you don't want to bet no money, you don't want to race, don't race. They can't make you bet. They can't make you race.
Right, just go out there, have some fun.
I've been a bracket racer all my life. I race for money, but ain't nobody going to make me race. So I don't want it.
Ain't no twisting arms out here.
Yeah.
Okay. Twist your arms.
So you different. You want to go have some fun, have your fun. I'm going to have my fun either way. But that's what I go to the track for. I ain't never called nobody out in my lifetime. If I get called out, I answer calls, you know.
And who puts on a better show than you, Doc? People love you all over the country. So go down that track, the franchise is in the air. That's what the spectators want to see.
That's why everybody want to run you, because you're the legend. They want to
knock
you off.
Yeah, they want to get a name for this year, but...
Yeah. What do you say, Phil? Because he's a what?
He's a legend.
Huh?
So they
want
to get names for themselves. Hey, we knocked off the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who want to run me?
Who
want to
run
me? I'm running my car. I say,
nobody want to run. You
but I have somebody
out.
Drive the car. He said, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, if you run in the car, you run in the car. Of course, I'm going to drive the car. But if you run in the car, it's your car against my car.
No, you're not running the car. You're running the driver because the driver's got to be able to perform.
No, but look, if the car don't hook up, you run in the car. It's car against car. It ain't driver against driver. It's car against car.
Who steps on the gas pedal? Wait, who steps on the gas pedal?
The driver.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so when you, and that's a great example. But when you line up, the car line up against his car. So I think my car will beat you, or I say, no, I don't think my car can handle you. I don't think your car can beat my car. Let's line up and see.
Well, Tank, that's why people got different. A lot of people got drivers, so they don't want to drive any car. So it's up to the individual.
And can we say car? I just want to add, is it car against car?
No, a lot of people don't want to do that. They talk, want to run a guy to run their mouth. Car can't run his mouth.
Okay. Because I thought it was, you line your car up, I line my car up, and let's go.
Well, because some people know you can't drive, you run your mouth, they want you to get
in. Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's a skill thing. Number one is the car, and then the second thing.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second, Phil. Mr. Carter.
Yeah.
If your car get out there on the track and my car get out there on the track and nobody's in it, what happens?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Yeah. So it takes the driver to get in it. Your son may be a better driver than me, but your son has to drive your car, correct?
Correct.
That's true.
Some drivers is a little better on the tree than other drivers.
Exactly.
That gives him a little advantage if he's can cut the tree better than the other driver.
Exactly. So you put the best driver in there. I put my best driver in there, and we go and see what the numbers turn. May the best man win.
Hey Doc. It's just like how you say when somebody call you out. What you say?
I like
you know what? As long as you driving the car, I will run you.
Well, it all
right,
depends.
That's how he told me, Mr. Carter.
It all depends.
If I can run the car, it don't make no difference who in it.
If a guy tell you, I'll race you if you drive it. But if you got somebody you want to drive it and he don't want to race you, he don't think he can beat you anyway. But he think he can outdrive you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you got a team of drivers, and if this driver do better in the car than this driver, then you automatically gonna let that driver drive the car. He do better. NASCAR, drag
right.
strip, or anything else. You see what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
I said, well, you know, I wasn't trying to bag down from nothing. I said, okay, we can race, just like that. I say, okay. I say, but I ain't going to drive the car, but I got somebody who can drive the car. I'm not experienced yet, but I'm getting there. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to race my car, I'll race you. That's fine. Then when I said, hey, I'm not good enough, I won't turn the time to beat you. I know my car beat you, but I got somebody else that's on the same team, that's in the same team of people that will run my car.
So did they chicken out?
Right. Yeah, he didn't want to run there. And only reason why I'm saying that
now,
is back
now you
in the
see,
day.
You see the difference in that tank? They know you're inexperienced. That's why they want you in the seat.
Right.
They
right.
want an easy win. They want you in the seat because you just sit here and told us you're inexperienced. Now your opponent knows that, so he wants you in the seat so he can easily win and humiliate you.
So,
okay,
don't
Mr.
Fall
Carter.
For the okie doke.
Mr. Carter,
yeah.
And Uncle Doc, you're right,
yeah.
Shaking Bake. That's why I want to ask this question. Back in the day, have y'all ever drove somebody else's car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you see what I'm saying? And it ain't the point of both of y'all can get in my car and run a faster time than me. Okay.
Right.
So then I say, well, what I'm doing wrong? Well, you got to start off like this, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. You see what I'm saying? It ain't the problem. It's not the thing that I don't want to be in the car, but I'm going to get the – I like how you said, Mr. Shake and Bake, you said I'm going to put the most qualified driver in the car that's going to make the car go faster no matter what.
Right, that's what you
can I ask you a question, Tank?
You know,
Tank, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Tank, I don't mean this with no disrespect at all.
Yes.
But
yes.
How are you going to get the experience if you're going to let somebody else drive the car? Sometimes you got to take a couple on the chin to get better. And I think you should do the driving because that's what's going to make you better. And then you'll be chasing.
That's why I said
then you'll
I'm
be chasing these guys.
Absolutely right.
I was just about to say that. You need seat time.
That's
right,
go out there and do it. Because no one's going to know that car better than you.
Exactly. But when the guy called me out, he called my car out.
No, he called you out.
If he called me out, now you calling my car out.
No, it's you, but you got to drive it.
That's
what they do.
Imagine this, Tank. Imagine this for 1 second.
Okay.
Imagine this. That guy calls you out, and you say, you know what? I'm going to drive my car. And then you go and race him, and you beat him. Man, do you know that you'd be able to talk shit from now till time ends with this dude? Because I do nothing and I can't beat your ass.
Amen. Amen.
So that's what I'm saying, man. Hey, you know what?
He's trying to get a win back because I already beat him with one of my cars. You're right. I beat him. And so he wants that win back. So, and I'm learning my car. You know what I'm saying? So, I got a couple more times to the track, and then I'm a racer. You know what I'm saying? But he knows, I like how you said, Mr. Carter, he knows he can't beat my car only with me in it. And then again, I like how you said, he might not beat me because he know my car faster than his. He just knew how inexperienced I am with this kind of car as a driver.
There you go.
This car is pretty
there
fast.
There you go. Right.
But I already know who you're talking about, so you should be able to beat him in your car if you roll the thing down the track halfway deep. You gotta get out of the stick.
You say I should be able to beat him?
Shake, I gotta
know
who the other guy is, Shake.
How you not gonna be able to beat an 11-second car?
Yeah.
Huh?
You're right.
Getting in the 11. If you can't beat that by driving, you don't even need to start driving. You just
hey,
did.
Tank.
Hey, don't forget, I'm your nephew.
I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's a brother or sister. If you scared, you're scared. You can't give him a race car and be scared. You got to learn to drive.
Amen.
Hey, that's that tough love right there.
Dude, I got to tell you,
he's always hard on me. He's always hard on me. But he the one made me get a car because he always hard on me. He said, I told you, this stuff costs money, and if you ain't going to get the right stuff, you don't need to be raced. And so
if you think I'm hard on you, let these guys keep calling you out and you don't do nothing. They the one hard on you.
Right.
You being hard on yourself when you don't learn to drive the car. You don't learn to drive. You got to learn.
I learned how to drive it.
You
should have
learned years ago
when
I was telling you. You had a car years ago. You could have went to the track with to learn something. That Nova you just sold, you could have went to the track with that. We already know it wasn't no 10-second car or nothing, but you start off by slow. Everybody on their phone, they didn't start out running 9s and 10s. They started running 13s and 12s and on up.
And work your way up.
You can't do nothing if you don't go to the track. You got to learn stuff. You got to learn how to drive a car. You got to. You can run. You can whoop him. I don't care what you do. You roll out and get into it. You can whoop him. But you can't do it if you're scared. You let the man pump you out.
Hey, Tank. Hey, Tank, who is this 14-second guy you scared of? He's scared of you.
Well, I can't.
He ain't 14, but he got 11,000 cars sometimes.
What's his name, Tank?
You only as good as your last win, right? And the last time we ran, I beat him. So he's trying to get his win back.
Who is him? Who is him? I need to know.
We can't grudge. Remember? This is the kind of show that is good. They tune
Tank,
in
just give
to
us
this
a car.
Show.
What kind of car, Tank? What kind
you
of
know,
car is it?
All I can say is they tune in to this show, so he's going to come on this show, and he's going to blaze me like he did. I'll run you.
I'm not going to let him blaze you. I'm not going to let him blaze you, not on him.
The reason why he said that is because he knew. He seen my car, and he knows that I'm inexperienced. I'm a rookie. I ain't even got a full season in. But I'm not going to always be a rookie. A rookie in baseball, football, or this and that is
1 year.
They got potential.
1 year.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, let me say this. A rookie in sports, and this is a sport, the reason why they get drafted because they – that they got potential.
Hey, Tank. The draft didn't open up already, so now it's time for you to go out there and practice.
Yep.
Hold on, Phil. Let me open up this other mic. 313-1396. Speak your name and your piece.
Hey, brother Shake, it's Mike.
What up, Mike? Hamilton Mike?
What up, Shay? Yeah, Hamilton Mike.
Bro, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Come on in here, man. We good. We got a discussion going on. We got Tank on here. We got Doc James, Mr. Carter, Philip Walker, Melvin Coney, Teo Russo out of California. Speak now, forever hold your peace. And Brother Corey.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
This ain't Curry
Martin,
is it?
Huh?
No.
You said it's Curry? Yeah, I know it's Curry Martin.
No, that's not him, Carter.
No,
it's Hamilton Martin.
Okay. Information. Not with a new other driver. That's my office is still on.
You need to get some seat time. As much seat time you get, the better. Now, I know a couple more days of seat time, but as much as you can get in that seat and get comfortable to where your body is it learns the car and it becomes second nature, then you're good. Then you're good.
Hey.
You get on out there and start racing people.
Well, they don't call me Tank for nothing. So if he's listening,
there you
let
go.
Him call me out now. Let him call me out now. I got some confidence in myself from talking to all y'all. Let him call me out now. It's on.
Oh, man.
Well,
Tank, you're going to mess around and make me bet on the other man. You better get some seat time. I trust seat time. I don't believe
well,
in all that other
stuff. I'm mad now. Look, I'm sitting in my car right now. I'm mad. Let him call me out. I didn't know all these pros is on the phone listening, so now I can't be shaking. I mean, I can't be scared. I'm ready now.
Don't
get out my seat.
See, that's what gets you called out, Tate.
I want to get out my feet and collect my money.
Tate, that's what gets
you
called out.
You say
on his show. That's what get him called out, run his mouth.
Right.
That's what get you called out. You can't run your mouth.
Okay.
You can't bag it up. You gotta tell you run your mouth. You gotta wait 2 or 3 years later to run somebody. That don't add up.
What kind of crap he got? Take it back.
Oh, Tank,
what kind of car is
Tank
it?
They got a. They got that. Remember you seen a car at the car show at the when we was the Quinder in 8.5 miles. All pretty noble.
Tell him what kind of car you got.
A 62.
Tell him what kind of car you got, Tank.
1962 Nova.
There you go. Tell him what you got. Don't be dressing.
It's a big tire car.
You ain't got to tell you. You ain't got to undress your car. Just tell him you got a 62 Nova with the rainbow colors in it. And Melvin might jump on you. Melvin might want some of that.
Uh-oh. That one
not
thing I ain't going to do, I'm not going to race no Lexus.
Hold on, Kelly. Okay.
Well, I
ain't
going to
race no Lexus.
I thought maybe we have old street cars, something that can race you, you know.
I ain't
going to
race no Lexus. I ain't going to beat no Lexus.
Some of you guys that not legends got faster cars than the legends.
Yeah.
Hey, these new guys got the fast cars now. Got these turbo cars, pro charge. Cars
you ain't lying.
Straight from
the factory.
No.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, hold on 1 second, guys. Hold on. We got a Chicago legend coming on here. And we've got to give him the Chicago invite.
Jump in the Cadillac, girl.
Now, man, you know who this is. What's going on, Cadillac?
This Chi-Town most famous. This Chi-Town on the phone most famous, man. What's going on, man?
What's up,
Cadillac? How y'all guys doing?
What's up? Oh, thank you.
Hey,
oh, man, we great. We great.
I heard my
Cadillac
man on there talking about he a new racer. He a new racer. Somebody tell him, hey, you don't tell nobody what you got, man. Just tell him you got a 62 Nova with getting the fat part of your nose. You say something like that, you don't tell him what kind of motor and everything you got.
Oh, no, I ain't tell nobody no motor. I ain't tell nobody no motor. I just said it's a big tire car. That's it.
Okay, yeah, that's why I want you to keep it at. You know, you got to learn the lingo now. Get you some seat
okay
time. Take your time. Practice when you're at the stoplight. Practice
okay
in your own, you know, in your slow car. Then you build up respect speed. Respect speed, son.
Okay.
Don't never race nobody
you
when you're mad.
Speed.
Don't race when you're mad. Don't race nobody when
shit
you're mad. You don't race when you're mad.
Why is that?
Do you fellas agree?
Why is that, Cadillac?
Am I saying anything
why
right?
Why is that, Cadillac?
Am I saying anything right?
No. Why you don't race when you're mad, Cadillac? What does that do?
Because you,
audience,
when
wants
you race, when you're mad, you're messed
up.
With
your red light?
You're angry. Red light everything because of you.
Hey, you need to turn the water pump on.
Never race mad. You don't race mad. You race to get even. Even when you get out through there, you want that. You want that W. You want to serve him that L.
Yeah.
That's how you race. I always have a level head. Try to have a level head. It ain't easy when it's grudge racing. You going grudge racing? You had to have thick skin. Ain't nobody told me you had to have thick skin now.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to have thick skin.
Okay.
You got to have thick skin now. And you got to be, best way I could tell you, you have to be a great loser to be a great winner.
Everybody
takes
that. Yeah, I am. That's the Cadillac out of Chi-Town. Most wanted.
Hey, hey, I'm just letting it be known, man. This game ain't easy. Everybody can't play this game.
Oh, this game costs a lot of money. I know that.
Oh, yeah. It's like a couple. It's a couple of dollars.
You just found that out?
I've been laid off for a year.
Not crazy.
Yeah, a couple of years
ago. One thing I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead, Mr. Carter.
I had 7 grudge races, and I won 6 out of 7. And the one I lost, the car got loose, and he had to shut it off to keep from crashing. And I can name the people I raced.
Ooh.
Yep. Yep. I raised some big names. White Devil. Shout out. What's this guy's name? I think Jacktown Hustler. There's a guy with a red Camaro. There's a guy with an S10 with a blower. And you know Ann out of Detroit with the Malibu.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I beat him at 131.
Gold Digger.
Yeah, Gold Digger. I raced him. I forgot the name. But I got my car is all steel, stock suspension with 275s on it. But I got a monster under the hood if I can keep it together.
Right.
The split dominator, Gene Fulton.
I got to get me a garage. Hey, Cadillac.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shake it, baby. Come on. Yeah, this is me.
Hey, you didn't get a chance to go down to Memphis, did you?
What am I going to go down to Memphis for? I wasn't burning no rope. I didn't have no cologne on, so it didn't make no sense to go.
Somebody sent me a text. Say, I shouldn't even say it. Say, Cadillac don't race, but you sure got a lot of information about racing.
I got a lot of information because I race when I want to race. I'm going to play pretty. It's a difference. I play and I play pretty when I want to. You get in my lane, I cut your throat. That's all. I just go there to wipe on my car. That's what I do.
When the last time you seen Big Drag, you down there in Big Drag from Chicago?
Yeah, Big Drag here, right?
Yeah. I got a motor. I got a 7-mo trip from Big Drag a few years back.
Big Drag, big Drag, one of the legends. He's one of the legends.
Yeah, he's a legend, and he's been around, and he's had all kinds of fast cars and whatnot.
Yeah. He's been fast. He's been slow. He's been out. He's been back up and doing it again. Can't count him out, man.
I think he's
so,
crazy.
Hey, he is what he is, bro.
Yeah, I think he had a crash last summer.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
Yeah.
It's Paul. You've been in class racing and grudge racing for a while.
Yeah.
What do you think about this no prep racing?
It's going to be a big hit out there. The only thing about the no prep, you're taking a chance on tearing the car. Because if the track ain't been prepped and you got a fast car. Now, if you got a big tire car and it's not that fast, I would say anywhere from a 10-second to an 8-second car, you'd probably be okay. But you go out there with one of these
6 second or low 7 second car, and you're taking a chance on tearing your car. Because if you try to turn that power loose on the no prep, most likely it's going to act up, spin the tires or whatever.
Yeah, because you say that all that power on a surface that's not prep, you're gambling.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, you remember that at the city airport?
I tried to say it.
One at a time. One at a time. What'd you say now?
I refuse to run as a no prep track.
Okay. Well, I can understand that with you and your situation. You got a real fast car, and you want to go on a surface that's capable of holding your car.
Yeah.
But this no prep stuff is then came out and it's hitting the scenes running kind of hard.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is. And
them guys is really doing some stuff and the quiet is kept. They are really putting some technology in their cars to keep it from slipping and sliding and going off to the wall.
That's all like the street outlaws. You take JJ the Boss. He only runs his cars on the street. And when those track cars come to the street to run against him and his wife and whatnot, most time they lose because the kind of power they got and whatnot. And he is familiar with the track. He got his car set up a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go down through there most of the time where you take a guy that runs at the track all the time, come out there on the street, he's going to end up blowing the tires or whatnot.
Inexperienced.
Yeah.
You come into his playground, and he know the court, he know the out of bounds, he know the nets, he know how high the basketball goal is. You come into his playground, chances is you're going to lose.
Yep.
That's how you play the game.
Yeah.
People have to pay.
Yeah.
It's that's the whole network. It's giving away cash. Bring them in front of them again.
People can laugh.
Well, Mr. Carter,
we got. This tank. People
Mr.
can
Carter.
Laugh.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if a person take a car down the track and he don't even know what a quarter mile marker is, see people laugh. But the thing is, he wanted to take the car down the track, so he want to learn. You see what I'm saying? So is that his fault because he didn't know where the quarter mile ended at?
But he had never been on the track before?
That's right.
No.
Everybody left. Because did nobody tell him where the quarter mile ended at?
Who you talking about, Tank?
Yourself.
Hey, Tank, we back to what we said earlier. You got to get some seat time. Seat time will clear all of that. Seat time is the drug.
When I first took the car out, I didn't know.
Right, you got to get some seat time. Seat time will cure all them mistakes. Am I right, Mr. Carter?
That's
right.
Last Christmas party to me.
You got to take two spoonfuls of seat time. Two spoonfuls of seat time will cure all them diseases.
Hey, hold on. Hey,
don't get past the quarter mile.
Hey Tank. Go to the track. Get there early in the morning when they first open up. And then you talk to the officials and say, "Can I walk down this track? See where the end of the quarter mile is?"
I
And I'm gonna find
out. I know everything now, but when I first went, I didn't know.
Walk down the track.
You want me to park my Honda down at the end of the quarter, man, so you can know where to get off the place.
Right, so get the landmark together.
Hey, man. Hey, it's that y'all hard on rookies.
We still love you though, man. We still love you. Hey Phil, if you can't see that brown ass Honda at the end of the corner, he might stop in Chicago somewhere.
Oh my God. Hey,
Shake, I was about to say, this goes no further than a shake and bake bread talk show.
Right, y'all don't tell nobody now.
It's all amongst us, man. It ain't going no further.
Hey, listen, I don't got to worry about it.
Although this show go all the way to Africa and China and everywhere else, but it ain't going no further than here.
But see, I'm going to say my name is something else. Y'all ain't going to know.
Oh, okay.
When I
looked
up.
Were they going to be another unknown? Checking back, another unknown.
I'm going to have to run. But okay. Get back with me in a couple
but
weeks and I'll let you know what's going on.
I
appreciate you, Mr. Carter.
All right, anytime.
Take it easy, Mr. Carter.
All right, you got to take it easy.
You let everybody climb. They the fastest in the whole wide world.
That's true, Tank. That's
true.
But that goes to show you. That goes to show you. When I took it down, I wasn't playing.
Hey, Doc James. Hey, Doc. Oh, God, I hung up. Hey, Theo.
Yo.
Doc James, at his shop, he's in his office. The only way you can put your car picture up on his wall is you got to do some time at a track. You got to get some video, and you got to have a slip. Ain't that right, Tank?
Yes, sir. And I got all that. I got all that.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you can only stay up there a year or two. You got to have something.
Are you on the wall?
Because he'll take it back down. He'll take it back down. If you don't go.
Are you on the wall?
You don't go. Huh?
Are you on the wall?
Am I on the wall?
Oh, he.
Yeah.
He just coming in, Mel. He just coming in.
Oh, I'm just coming in. So I'm, you know, I've been to the track. I got a time slip, everything. So I just got to get my picture. I went to the track three times last year. And
okay.
You know, with enough seat time, it's a pretty good car. And, you know, but being on the show here, I've been on the show three times here. It really made me feel like, you know, that I could get with people to learn. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a shame, and they might say, you don't know what you're talking about. It's a shame that all of you guys been doing this for this long, and y'all got to keep doing it. We should be able to put cars together, young men. I'm 56 years old, and so y'all guys can come see us race. You see what I'm saying? And not so much the part of, you know, a person yelling at you and yelling at them. It should be a purpose. They say, man, both of them cars ran. Boy, them boys were doing, they ran head up. It was a good race. Or you know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's about. It's about the sportness of racing. The White Castle on Livernois and Warren was about the castle. I went there when I was a little bitty boy, started going there when I was 9 years old with my big brother. Okay, now in 2021, we can't go there no more. They boarded it all up. So see, the experience that, you know, that we've seen there, it turned into the track and so forth and so on. An example that I'm going to use is Milan is closed, so now you got to travel even farther because I got to travel further to get some seat time in.
Oh, Tank. Listen up. That's why I've been calling you for the past 3 weeks. And you gotta put your phone on. You gotta put me in your phone so you can know I'm calling because it's something important. I ain't trying to talk to you for nothing. But we got information that a new track is opened up, and that's what I was calling, letting you know. Onondaga, it has a new owner, and that ain't but an hour and a half drive from here, from Detroit.
Okay.
It's just on the other side of Myler, going the same direction. And you just go a little past Miley, and you'll be there at the track. But Onondaga, it looks just like Lapeer. It's a nice track. The man just bought it, and he put money into it. And we still waiting on the schedule for this year, but we got another place to go race. And you can go there and test and tune and get your seat time in as much as you want to. So as soon as we find out the schedule, you on and popping, baby.
Oh, yeah, He just had a swap meet up there earlier this year, didn't he?
Yep. I went there. He had the swap meet, and he's having another swap meet on the 1st of May.
So oh, really?
That's coming up this weekend, ain't it? Yeah, the 1st of May.
Oh, man.
He's having another swap meet. My co-host, Rich, where is he at? Rich ain't on here. But yeah, the 1st of May, that's another swap meet. So I suggest you just drive up there to the swap meet, get familiar where the track is. It's easy to get to. I tried to memorize. You take 94 and westbound.
So what, 127?
You take 127 north, and you want to come up, I think it's exit 26. It's going to say Lindsay something road. You come up that exit, go left,
music,
and go down about 2 miles, and you'll be right there at the track. Can't miss it.
Thank you for that information.
Real easy.
It's no one.
So when you come on the show more often, we'll find out what the schedule is gonna be like. He gonna open up this year, and
okay.
You get the schedule, and now you got your place to go sneak and test and get it on before your compadres come by there and check you out. Go get you some seat time. If they know it, they're going to call you out one day, and you're going to just bust that ass.
If I got one of the good street cars there, I'll run them up and down the track and have some fun with them, man. You know, so you can get some seat time.
Oh, yeah, you can
get
Camaro. You can take your Camaro, man.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Man, you don't know Tank.
Yep.
Now, we got a car.
I know the car. I know exactly the car you're talking about.
We got a 78 Camaro that'll line up with you.
All right. Well, I just want to have some fun, man. So, you're just getting started. So, you know, we can, you know.
Yeah, that's, and I appreciate
some ropes
that.
And stuff like that, man. You can, you know, begin to learn the whole setup and everything, you know.
Yeah, and I thank you for that because Mel still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Melvin, I watched you with a lot of people.
Well, you know, like I say, man, I hear what you're looking for, man. I try to help you out, you know. We just be out there having fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
We'll be having some fun.
I lost the money. I learned something at 42. At 42, I bet a lot of money on the race. And it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to turn out. So now I got exactly what you guys saying, what y'all said tonight. What y'all telling me tonight is don't bet on nobody else. Bet on yourself.
There you go.
Hey.
Because whether you win or lose, and just like Chi-Town said, you got to lose some to win some. And my
That's right.
just told
mm-hmm.
me that in the car. So that made me be like, you know what? You can't be scared to lose because eventually you're not going to lose them all. You're going to win some.
Hey, Shay.
Yeah.
What they say in martial arts, you got to know how to fall.
Say it again.
I said, what they say in martial arts, you got to know how to fall.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You got to learn how to fall. That's how you protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't we got a race coming up in Martin 131 next month?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, it's May, 22nd,
23rd? 21st and 22nd. 21st, they're going to be doing a lot of testing and tuning. So if you actually can get up there, that'll be a good day for you to be there.
Okay. Yep, that's what I want to do. Thank you. Yep.
Yep, May 21st and 22nd.
I mean, I'll say this like this, and you guys can say yay or nay. It's not easy going to the track. When I was on the street, Mustang, this and that and other, but my three times I went down to the track, man, that stuff ain't no joke. I respect it myself because I know when I seen Big Chief and Chucky, that car crashed there. That just woke my eyes up to saying, hey, don't play around with no car. This ain't no easy sport. You got to be serious and you got to be safe.
I didn't just say that's definitely the example. As I said, you gotta you have to respect the speed. You gotta respect the car.
It will kill you.
You suckers will kill you quick. My old man used to tell me if you feel it in your butt, get out the gas.
But I really, I can say I've got some great examples of legends. And you can have some people say, man, you don't know what you're talking about. This, that, that. I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it with my own eyes. My thing is it all gone when Uncle Doc and Melvin and Carter and what's your name? All y'all, is it all gone when y'all done? No, we supposed to take over from you guys. Y'all handing us the torch.
Look here, the whole thing is, and I understand what you're saying, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. I mean, you know, I got a lot of friends that I've been growing up. I've been growing up with, hell, Doc been knowing me since I've been in diapers. Melvin, too. Jake. You know, all the guys. And, you know, it's, I don't know everybody's kids. But, you know, most of them ain't in it like we are. Well, you just got to, hey, you know, if they don't want to do it, hey, you, like you say, you got to do it for the culture.
Yep. I'm doing it because I don't want it to be, I want my grandson and my son to get into it so it can be something that's carried on. And the reason why I said that, because when I was a little boy and I seen Hollywood Sam, you know, on Grand River, I mean, it was an inspiration to see this man own his own shop, and you could come buy valve covers and carburetors and everything else. And the same as Melvin and Doc and all of you guys now, you know, again, a place where you can voice something. Come on to the Grudge show. And you know what I'm saying? Because Hollywood Sam been around a long time. He done judged a lot of Autoramas.
Yep. God rest his soul. Yep. He got a lot of people inspired and into it.
We got another young man, Angelo. You know, we can name him Pastor the Friendly Ghost, Tony Buck. We can keep naming them on and on and on. Deer Jammer, he's not here. They said the car fell on him. They used to be in Detroit Dragway. You got a lot. Cowboy. I got a picture of Cowboy sitting in my bedroom right now. You know, so as from me to you guys, I'm impressed to know you guys. So I'm saying, hey, they not going to do it forever. Somebody got to take up the rear.
Right.
Somebody got to do it.
It's called carry.
Well, check it. Whenever I'm at the track and you at the track, man, I give you all kind of pointers to get you where you want to go, and you can have something to pass on to the kids and the grandkids. All right.
And that is so wonderful because people, when I the second time I took my car down, everybody said, "I'll run you. I want to go. I want to run you. I want to run you because I got a big tire car." But you want to run an unexperienced guy? You see what I'm saying? I needed people to say, "Hey, I'll help you. The car all together. I ain't got no leaks or nothing like that." So I needed somebody to say, "Hey, man, look, this is what you do. You know what I'm saying?"
Hold on. First of all, and I ain't making no cracks or nothing like that. You know who this is, don't you? Tank.
Huh?
You know who this is, don't you?
It's only my second time being on the talk show, so I don't know.
And you don't know my voice? And you see, I should be offended. You don't even know who this is? Okay. See, that ain't even right.
Wait a minute. I'm not even on my phone
because
my phone wouldn't go through. I'm on somebody else's
Tank.
Phone, and I'm trying to hear as much as I can.
Listen, Tank. Just like what you're doing right now with your car, you got other people driving it. When I got started,
no,
I ain't let nobody drive my car.
I ain't let nobody drive my car because I'm the one that bought it.
Listen to what I'm finna tell you. Take a break and listen to what I'm finna tell you. The guys, I have my own car. They done all of the street racing. I sat in the back seat. I watched. I get out of the car. I watched them race. They took me to the track, and I started racing at the track. You know how I took over the driving duties of my own car? I'm at the drag strip. They driving my car, running the number at the drag strip. My first time I get in the car, I drive my own car faster than they was driving it. You know what they told me? Okay, I don't got to drive your car no more. You know how to drive it. And I took it from
there.
I
know who this is. I know who this is. Got a mouth.
Yes.
I know.
And I live for
those
guys today that taught me what they taught me. And it's deep down inside of me how I got started racing. I'm still in it today, and I do a lot of my racing for the people that taught me the things that I know about racing today. It's some of the reasons why I still stay in it.
But see, Tank, you got to go. You can't go to a national event or a grudge event and say somebody's going to help you. That's not going to work. You got to go to a test and tune event to where
okay.
You know, people learning their own stuff. You still might have some a-holes up there that might want to try you, but you can't just go to a national event where it's a lot of big wigs out there and it's a whole bunch
that's
of sharks.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and they want to come and pounce on you. By the way, this field.
Yeah, once I heard your voice, I said, I know who it is.
But you can't go to a national event as the number one and think you're going to be able to get some free time, you know, or go to
he
a
gonna get some free time.
And think somebody can help
the
you.
The free time he's going to get is sitting in the staging lane. That's the free time he's going to get. He'll be sitting there for
right.
8 hours.
Right.
He gets some free
right.
time, not moving.
You're right. I mean, and that's why I said that I appreciate it because I didn't come out there to run a number. I came every time to learn the sport, to learn.
Well, you first got to learn.
Right. To learn the car, so
that's
I'm
what you gotta
to
learn. You gotta
again,
learn your
to
car.
To learn the car, you gotta learn the sport. You know what I'm saying? And so, I don't feel bad on anything because I'm learning. That's why I don't have a problem saying I'm a rookie. LeBron James was a rookie. Magic Johnson was a rookie. The best. Michael Jordan was a rookie.
But they had training.
Dale Earnhardt
so somebody got to train you.
All right.
Hey, Tay.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And I don't want you to take this the wrong way. To be a grudge racer, you have to listen and learn. You have to fall
okay.
back. And when you got a car like you got, you have to go off by
uh-huh.
yourself and get somebody
okay.
who can help you, who want to see you go. See, you got to find somebody who really in your corner, bro. See, I'm just going to
okay.
keep it real. A lot of folks, they ain't going to tell you all this.
Okay.
And this is game that, how can I say to you that I learned a long time ago. In order to have a fast car, you've got to be able to get in your car and learn your car. You ain't got to go down there 500 miles an hour right away. You go down there
okay.
60, 80 miles an hour, get the feel, and you can be able to tell if the car gets loose or whatever the car's going to do, you know how to react. The main thing you do when the car gets to acting up on you, you knock it out of gear. If you knock it out of gear,
okay.
she ain't going to do it. She's uh-huh. going to settle right down. But you got to get somewhere so you can know what the car going to do when you stall it up and see how the car reacts. You got to find out what it likes. So you have to get around people that want to see you go so you can learn from them. Because, see, this game here is a trial and error. See, everybody don't talk. They're not going to tell you, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. They just going to say, hey, man, want to see you get out there and get down. But you gotta be smart with it, man. You gotta be smart.
All right, I'm back.
So my thing to you is what I would do if I was you. I'd get my car, go to a track every week, you know, take the car two times, three times a week, whenever you can, and just play with the car, learn the car.
Okay.
That's what you had to do. You had to even learn how to tune on it yourself. You had to do what, man, being a drag racer ain't easy job, bro. It's a hard job, bro. Sometimes you're going to have more heartbreaks than you're going to have luck. But sometimes it'll flip.
Yep.
You can cut your W on. Your W is you winning in the seat and you learning your car.
You work at it enough, you get real good at it. Before you know it, you'll be tuning other people. Or you get real good at driving. They going to say, oh, that's a tree trapper there. He cutting the lights. You just got to practice at it. Practice just like Kobe did in basketball. Practice when everybody else quit practicing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I need...
While you talking, answer the door, Frank. Answer the door.
No, that ain't me. That ain't me.
Just answer the door for me while I'm busy. Answer the door, Tank.
I'm sitting in the car learning.
Okay. You sit right there. Let me answer the door. Come on in here, Chi-Town kid. What up, kid?
Man, Cadillac ain't doing that. How the hell he going to tell somebody how to race?
Hey kid, check this out here.
What, man?
I can teach you something. I can teach you one thing. I can teach you how to put your cupcake in your mouth so you don't choke.
You can't teach me but one thing. That's how to try to find another dollar. That's the only thing you can teach me.
I ain't gonna teach you that. Nah.
No, you ain't doing no racing. How you gonna tell somebody else how to race?
I ain't gotta do no racing. I don't have to do no racing, man. I'm not a racer, kid. I'm a play pretty. What do I don't understand? You can't tell me what to do.
You should have been asking
thing
what
I can do. I shouldn't have been. No, I was where I was supposed to be. I was where I was supposed to be playing with my car. That's where I was at.
You should be asking them. You're gonna send the midgets over there, man. You better be cool, man. They're gonna send the midgets over there. He should be asking y'all when is the Autorama coming around?
They canceled it this year.
Yeah.
Cadillac, you might well go on mute then. They ain't got no kind of information for you.
Hey, kid, check this out here, man. Check this out here. Did you get you something to eat while you was down there?
Hell yeah, I got something to eat.
That's all I want to know. All right, then. That's it. That's all you got for to smell some rubber and smell that good cologne down there, and you haven't got bone in your mouth. That's it.
I'm help selling food. You know I had to get something to eat.
That's what I said, baby. I ain't mad at you because you did that. But I am not a
blood
racer. I am a...
You're right. You ain't, and you ain't playing too pretty.
I bet you I am. Right, baby. I come to the show, I shut them down all kind of ways.
I know you do.
Pull that 10-car trailer out. Don't let me pull the trailers out, kid. You better know.
Hey, kid. So did anybody look like they did pretty good? They got the car to go down the track pretty good Thursday.
Nobody won a race. He did. Shit, I don't know. Wesley Snipes
look good.
Yeah.
Shit, your city boy, they look damn good too. Goddamn Friendly Ghost.
You must have seen the Friendly Ghost good pass.
No, I didn't. I was selling food, man, but I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, that damn ghost, he finally got it to come around now. He went on down through there now.
I think the first one I seen, he was breaking the tie. And then that last one I seen, they say, damn, that's all I want to see. The Unfriendly Ghost went straight down Broadway.
But I seen them two passes he made going straight down Broadway. It was going to be a good race.
Yep.
Going to be a good race. It's still going to be a good race because it's to be continued. That's all it is. That race is going to happen. I don't know what track it's going to happen at, but that race is going to happen.
Oh,
with
the
time limit the way it is right now, it looks like it's going to happen. It ought to be at 131 because 131 is the next nice prep track that's going to be really prepped that they're going to probably get a chance to both be at. It's probably going to happen right there. Because that's within 30 days
That'll be a good one. All Tate has to do is get his man to come up here to 131 and they can go to battle.
Now his man is already here. Them boys here. It's closer for them. If Tate comes to 131, they 2 hours. That's Wesley Snacks you're talking about. He's right here in the city. Yeah, but like I said, I seen Three Lug win a race.
Okay, fellas, man, I appreciate the advice. I'm going, and I'm gonna do just like what you said. I'm gonna go to a track and try to get that twice a week, get some seat time in, and play with the car and learn the car. And
there you go.
Yeah. The pier be open all week long up there, man. They be open all during the week.
Which track?
The pier. They be open on Tuesdays, Wednesdays. They be up there. Whenever the weather good during the week, the pier normally open.
Okay. Because I'm saying I didn't buy the car to tear it up. I bought the car to go to the track to learn the car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, all you got to do is get in and get to that track, turn them two bulbs on, and start learning how the tree operates and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Pro trees, regular trees, whatever, you know, decide whatever you decide what type of tree you want to be with. If you're going to grow a race, it's going to be a pro tree anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, can you go get the Nova, the Black Nova, and test and tune with it? Or is Doc Keller going to let you do that, or is he?
Oh, yeah.
He ain't got it tore down, do he?
He's still doing some work to it, but, with everything that's going on with my car, I didn't been to, and I said that was with the other Nova that I said I didn't know I was still in the car, when I first went down to the track, that was in the Black Nova, I'm learning every time. Like I said, The thing I got in my head is you got to show up at the track. That's the first thing. So you got to show up. And now I'm going to do just like y'all said. Go a couple times a week. And like you say, go up to Lapeer where I can learn.
Well, hey, Tank, let me tell you this, and this is no joke, no bullshit. The guys on the show, we laugh and joke, but most of the guys on here, majority of them told you the truth. You need to go to the track, get you some testing, get some seat time. The more the merrier. if you can get a whole lot of seat time until that stuff becomes second nature, you're going to do good. And you want to get it quick before the next guy call you out. So they're not expecting you to learn within a few months or a few weeks. Get as much seat time as you possibly can. Sneak off somewhere where they can't see you. You don't want to go to a national meet. You don't want to go to one of these big events. You want to go the opposite direction of everybody else. Get you some seat time.
Yeah, and that's what I did.
And I guarantee you. I guarantee you they gonna, you know, you're going to impress them.
Yeah. I appreciate that, fellas. I really do. And I appreciate you
cause we got,
taking bait, putting me on the show, you know, giving me the opportunity, you know, to hear from the legend so I can learn. So that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I
there
appreciate that, fellas.
Hey, I want you to get your car together because I want to take you down to Florida. And I got some boys out in Florida, one or two of them on the show right now. They ain't get the one button. But I want to introduce you to some guys down there. That's some good racing, good weather. And I'm having to tell you about it. We go down there every December, the first, second week in December. And them guys put on a show for us. They got some good Southern hospitality, too.
All right. Well, fellas, I'm going to get out of here until next week. You know, be merry. And everybody have a good time, good week. And I appreciate the advice, and I'm going to take that advice and take my time and learn.
Shay, Shay.
Okay. Appreciate you. What up? Well,
hey, tell him to come out there. Who was that now trying to, who was that? You was just talking to Shay?
That was tight.
Is he still on there? This is what you can start doing today. You don't have to go to no racetrack. What you need to do is go sit in your car and learn how to work everything in there, blindfold yourself, learn how to do it. It comes second nature to you. You'd be surprised how good that'll do to you when you get to the track. Learn your
okay.
car.
Now you're talking to the legend.
Go sit in your car. Do it if you want to, two or three times a day, 1 or 2 hours at sitting there so you know where all your controls at and how you start it up, how you do everything. Then put a blindfold on there. Then put a blindfold on it. See, can you do it with a blindfold on?
Okay.
Don't be poked.
What's your Cadillac do? What's your Cadillac do?
I'm in a good mood tonight, so I ain't gonna dog about out. You know, I'm gonna be nice on Shig and Big Show tonight. I'm gonna be nice on the show tonight.
Oh, okay,
Cadillac came and go to no Cadillac came and go to no damn car show with that ugly ass Cadillac he got. That.
Lord have mercy.
Damn, how the hell are you gonna have a damn Cadillac that damn air conditioning don't even work, power steering don't work?
Hey dog. Check it out, dog. Air conditioning works in the Cadillac, baby, and the power steering work. Everything works.
He been talking about had them damn midgets and everything. He been talking about them damn midgets for 5 years. By the time he find one of them damn midgets, they're gonna be a giant by the time he get to find one.
Hey.
I'm telling you.
hey, dog, there's a pandemic going on. It's 19 now here, so you got to take it easy, dog. Got to take it easy. That is all.
Hey, is Melvin Coleman still on here?
Yeah, I'm on here, dog.
Hey, Shake and Bake. Hey, Shake and Bake, you know, I try not to be disrespectful. Can we curse on your show?
Go ahead.
Melvin Coney, I'm going to beat the fuck out you.
Lord, how much?
Dog, you going to Brad Davis, race?
I don't advertise where I'm going on a show like that. I plead the fifth, Jake.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I better not catch you out of Georgia some goddamn way up this way. I'm going to let you do that.
I've been outside of Georgia all this week, boy.
That's all right. You ain't came close enough. I'm going to know when you get close enough.
And you ain't cracking no car neither. You can't catch me on the couch. You can't catch me on the couch.
Oh, man. Not the couch. That motherfucker ready, buddy. That motherfucker ready. Trust me.
Yeah. You can't catch me on the couch. I'm going to knock a hole in your ass and Ernie's ass. You got Ernie. I'm going to show you what the real shit is. I'm going to show you the real man, dog.
I'm going to run over the top of your ass for Ernie, motherfucker.
The only way you run over the top of me is on the big end after I get out the car and you ain't got no damn brakes and you hit me.
Lord, have mercy. Well, we're going to see one of these days. We're going to turn them buzz on. After them four buzz come on, I'm going to fuck you up. I ain't going to say nothing else.
Yeah. When I get, hey, I'm going to cut that flat off the back of your goddamn head.
Damn. Okay. All right. No problem. Ain't got no problem with none of that. I like that. I like everything you just said. I like that.
I'm going to beat the dog. Hey,
Brent. You better get him out before dog get him.
I'm America's most wanted.
Shaggy Big, I didn't hear the show because I was in Montgomery at the racetrack. I just left out the racetrack, but I'm finna say this here, and I don't care who don't like it, cause I can't lie. You know, I talk a lot of shit, but I don't lie about stuff when I find out. Ain't nobody in Chicago gonna beat Tate the Great. Ain't nobody in Chicago gonna beat Tate the Great. Ain't nobody in Tennessee gonna beat 901 Bad Boy. They got them something just running pretty good. Wesley Snipes in the turbo car from New York would have been a good race, but I believe Snipes might have clipped him. He might have clipped him, but I don't know. That's a toss-up race right there. Who else you want to know about? Scrap, race car Vaughn was going to chain lane scrap them, man. They were going to beat the dog shit out of Leon and them,
man.
What else you want to know? Yeah, what else?
Damn, dog.
Hold up. Three Lug shit so goddamn weak, he's the only motherfucker that was hooking when the track wasn't hooking. They was gonna beat the chicken shit out of goddamn Terrio. They was gonna chain link Terrio, dummy. By the time they got through fucking Puerto Rican Pete up, he's gonna be called a goddamn Hawaiian Pete.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
What else you wanna know? What else you wanna know about? Dunye finally got a car that he can drive pretty fast though, cause his goddamn car ain't got no oil pressure. It was his pump faking ass. But he was driving the hell out of taste though. Scandal was finna get chain rate. Scandal and Chuck. I think Chuck must have fucked around there and gave Scandal his damn demo cheap ass beers he be drinking.
Oh man, not the Millers.
God damn you say the car got drunk?
It was drunk or something. He couldn't leave it. It was staggering all over the goddamn place. He wasn't gonna whoop nobody. I ain't got no friends. So who else you know went out there you want to know about it? I'm gonna tell you everything. Ghostbusters was gonna beat the dog shit out of Memphis Gangster. Memphis Gangster couldn't get out his own goddamn way. Memphis Gangster couldn't get out his own
damn
way.
Damn, Bobby.
Didn't he burn it up?
No, he ain't burn it up. He had a little transmission problem. He got transmission problem. Tutu Bradley. I'm going to plead the fifth on 2-2 Bradley. I'll plead the fifth on that one. Who else y'all been talking about? Let me see. Who else y'all need to know about? Damn, I might have covered everybody.
Okay.
You got a point there.
Yeah? Come on, kid. Who else I miss, kid?
Shit, I don't know.
Kid. Kid, you know that car David Reese had?
Yeah, the Cobalt.
He just ran out of. The Cobalt. He just ran out of everybody like down here in Alabama. He done beat the fuck out of everybody. Beat the dog shit out of Jesse James. Beat the dog shit out of Jesse James.
Oh man, no, he didn't, man. Y'all down in Montgomery, right? Y'all down in Montgomery,
right? Montgomery. Okay. And that damn track hook. Old track working, boy. They finally got that track working, boy.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah, but it was going to be a good race, though.
Oh,
man.
Little Red Mustang beat the shit out the Grudge. I got to give Bush Dale credit, though. Bush Dale drove all the way to Memphis by himself and drove all the way down here to Alabama by himself, but he got his ass on cold out.
What was Dre at?
He probably was in the goddamn barn eating the goddamn cows, eating the horses' hay.
Oh, man. Somebody said they saw Dre.
He was there.
Dre was
down? He was down there.
You didn't smell it?
Oh, man.
Damn.
Hey, somebody put a glass shake and bake this show because shake and bake would eat up all the goddamn food.
Lord have mercy.
Sure would have. As hungry as I am right now, I'd have tore that shit up, dog.
Yes, sir.
You know,
Bobby Cole said, shake and bake, sit down there for about 35 minutes, went on there and took a shit and came back and sit down for 35 more minutes. My brother with the lasting effect is a thing called Herbal Erect Shake and Bake. Some new brothers got a new product coming out, all natural thing. Keep your dick hard. They sold a whole lot of them dick hardeners down there, too.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Yep. Some good stuff, too. It worked, too. 72 hours. Tastes you like coffee without sugar. So y'all check the brothers out. Lasting Effect. Check them out on the web there. You can order and everything. It's worth it, guys. If you got any ED problems, it's worth it. I'm serious now. I ain't trying to make a joke. I'm serious.
No, you know how many people are sitting there going on the website right now looking that shit up.
Oh, no, no. He be on my show every week. He be on my show every week. I'm serious, though. I'm serious about it, Shaking Baker. You know, two young brothers got a thing. Tell them, kid, I'm serious about it. I'm serious.
Yeah, out of California.
Yeah.
It's called Lasting Effect. Start with an A. I think it's called an A. Anyway, it's called Herbal Erect. I mean, and it's all natural. It don't do like Viagra and Cialis and all that, give you a headache and all that, and stuff your nose up and stuff. It's all natural. It's all natural ingredients.
Make it stand tall for 48 hours.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on it. It all depends. I'm 69 years old, and it lasts me for 3 days.
God dang.
You know, I had to try to make sure before I endorse the shit, I had to try. I can't endorse no shit that I ain't tried.
Got a point there. Cadillac, what's their telephone number again?
I ain't got it with me. But no, I'm gonna still feeling it, so y'all need to check it out though, for real. I'm serious. Y'all need to check it out though.
Kid.
Oh, kid over there joking. Kid probably ordered something and didn't want nobody to know about it.
Hey, dog. That's a big 10 phone. That's a big 10 phone.
Yes, indeed.
The kid doubled the price on him. He got his shit. Y'all got some shit for you now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dog. You can come off the porch now. He can come off the porch.
I don't know, but I know I had a midget over there doing pull-ups on mine.
Uh-oh, man, not a midget. I show up with one of Cadillac midgets.
One of them got out of the stable.
Now we know where it went.
Hey, kid.
What?
You need to leave that alone, kid. Leave that alone.
Okay, all right. I will.
I asked a legitimate question on the show one day, but what about the answer? So since Cadillac on here and he specializes in midgets, Cadillac, How Mizzy wipe his ass if his little arm can't reach back there? If his arms can't reach back into his ass.
They feel like he's on the floor and squirting.
Oh, that much. How the hell they do that, Cal?
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, man, nobody ever could give me the answer, man. You know how them little men can't reach their ass off. They can't reach back their ass. How they wash their ass?
Yep.
Hey, dog,
they
got a long
what
child.
They do, Cal?
They go from side to side, dog. What they do, just take a shower every time they shit? Hey, they get a towel and get it long enough, and they do like the seesaw. That's all. Ain't no day.
Okay.
So far, they wash.
Okay. Oh, man, you let me know, because they couldn't tell me. I'm wondering how that. I said, I got this little niece. This motherfucker can't reach. Them little arms can't reach back there and wipe his ass. How he wipe his ass?
Y'all going to hell, man. Hey, dog, you knew Cadillac would have the ass, didn't you? You knew Cadillac would have the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What better person to ask?
Hey.
Hey, kid. I told you to stay still there on the porch now.
Oh, okay. I thought I was on mute.
Until you can't hang out like that now.
I thought I was on mute, Cadillac. I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute.
Hey, kid, you better say your favorite. Dog, you being very disrespectful.
Yeah, you very disrespectful.
Yeah, buddy, that kid.
Them little short arms do kind of make you wonder, don't it, dog?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got to know how to maneuver. That's all it is.
Yeah, because I had a little busy girlfriend, and I was scared to ask her how she washed her ass, but she could reach her coochie, but she couldn't reach her ass.
Oh, boy. That's too long.
Wonder why she kept smelling like shit.
Oh.
Man, I can't even look at little people like that now. What I wonder.
That thought gonna cross your mind now, Theo.
Oh, man.
What's going on, dog? Yeah, you barefooted motherfucker. You, what's up, baby boy?
How you doing, Theo?
All jokes aside, don't that make you wonder, though, Theo?
It sure the fuck does, dog. I'm still thinking. I can't wrap my head around it right now. I'm like, how did they do that?
Hey, you're being very disrespectful.
But you know what, man? I bet you that's a Facebook question. Watch how many people say, I don't know.
Because, you know they can reach in the front, but they can't reach behind.
You ain't lying, man.
But, so I read. Maybe that's why the little people married. You ain't got a rope. Especially now, I'm gonna tell you the one that catch hell. Especially the one with them goddamn muscles. If they got muscles, they can't reach no goddamn way.
Yeah, you right about that.
But guess they hate when they got the shit because they know they can't wipe their ass then.
Yeah.
Damn.
Hey, man, they gotta go straight and take a shower.
Hey, dog. You think maybe that's why they're so angry all the time? Because we can and they can't.
Hey, you got a point now. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. They probably couldn't wipe your ass. You know, you don't wipe your ass, that should be itching back there. It'd be itching, sticking to your drawers and shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I got to wipe the tears from my eyes. I'm laughing so hard, man. That's just too damn funny.
Well, I thought it was a legitimate question because nobody never could ask it for me.
That's funny as hell. So, dog, what's good with you, man?
Hey, man, I'm still, I'm living life, man. I'm living life like it ain't no tomorrow, baby.
Amen, man.
I wish this motherfucker gone past me and quit fucking around on the side of me. Yeah, what the fuck he pull aside me for if he wasn't on fast? Dumbass motherfucker.
Hey, rubbing is racing too, babe. Give him a little rub. That's racing.
Oh, yeah.
So, dog, you went home after you left Memphis, did you?
Yeah, man. I did, oh, okay. Man. I had to get back to make sure I had some business to take care of.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I'm just thinking like I did.
The Elbury wreck was working.
Yeah. Hey, kid. I told you the grudge came out here and got his ass blowed out down there today.
Yeah.
Just a few minutes ago. But I gotta give old Bush there credit though. That man he did a lot of driving by his goddamn self and to do that shit. I gotta give him props with it. And the bottom line though, he still got his ass blowed out.
Yeah, long. That's a long ride back to Texas.
A real long one. That's when you get your ass whooped.
Yeah.
Damn, 15, 16 hours seem like 30 hours then.
Yeah, you got that right.
Because some of y'all motherfuckers wouldn't know nothing about that because you don't read. All you do is sit there on the goddamn couch and pick your nuts.
Oh, you ain't talking about the guy from Chicago, are you? You talking about the guy from Chicago? The guy from Chicago.
They got a couple of them. They got a couple of them too now.
Oh, okay. Hey, you going to Lions, Tigers, and Bears this year, Doug?
Nope.
All right.
Wheelchair race the same day. I'll be at wheelchair race.
That's in Macon, ain't it, dog?
Yes, sir.
Man, I might try to catch it with my man. Goddamn it, ride on down there, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Check it back. You ain't doing much traveling this year, man. What's wrong? What's up, baby? We used to see you kind of record. We ain't seen you there.
You fucked up and
told us. I'm headed to Arkansas right now.
Ain't no goddamn body racing in Arkansas, motherfucker.
It is some racing going on in Arkansas. But that's not what I'm going for.
My point I'm trying to make, though, what big, we talking about the races that everybody know about. Goddamn it. They racing up there where you at. Racing to the goddamn dinner table.
The season just started, dog. So you almost see me this weekend, but shit happened.
Well, we thought you was gonna be down over by the coal race. I thought you was gonna be down there. Hey, Tayo.
I was headed, wasn't a kid.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Don't let Check and Bake come to California, cause if y'all take him to the strip club, he'll never leave.
Oh man.
Man. I've been trying to get
Shake and Bake to the strip club. He stayed in that motherfucker all night. And goddamn it, they ain't having two girls. They ain't having two girls in there. And one of them didn't have no. Between the both of them, they ain't have three teeth.
Stop lying. Stop lying, dog.
Oh, that
stop lying.
Shake and bake,
that motherfucker
all night.
As dog, was he standing outside waiting on me?
No, when I fed back by there the next morning, you were still in that motherfucker.
Not made
what
reservation.
Car, what car was I in?
You seen that
little number out there?
Hey, kid, I hope he gave him enough money to buy some tea. I think one of them had two in the front, and the other had one in the back.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh.
Yes, Hey, y'all never went to that one in the banquet. I didn't tell you about. Did I tell y'all about the Jesse James joke? Did y'all hear me give my Jesse James joke? I love getting that day.
Tell me.
Y'all hear my?
Tell me.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm finna give you my Jesse James joke. Y'all know Jesse James was a great train robber. You know, back in the day, he was a great train robber. So Jesse James jumped on the train. He said, "This is a goddamn hold up. I'm gonna rape all the men and I'm gonna rob all the women." The lady in the back jumped up there. Jesse, ain't you got that backwards? Don't you mean you gonna rape all the women and rob all the men? A little faggot jumped up and said, "Sound, bitch. Who robbing this train? You and Jesse." I got the faggot jump up and say, "Who robbing this train? You and Jesse."
You just so disrespectful.
kid, you fucking up on your punchline, kid.
Very disrespectful. There you go.
Some of y'all didn't get that joke now. Some of y'all didn't get that joke. Hey, what Mayberry did all of that? Mayberry didn't even trying to learn how to build a goddamn Chrysler Hemi motor.
Oh, man. Not Mayberry.
I don't know.
I ain't heard them dumbass motherfuckers on here in a minute. I'm sorry. I got to apologize. Shaker Big said, "Don't you be disrespectful to my guest." I'm sorry, Shaker. I apologize.
Yeah. Very disrespectful.
It's bad as having D on with you again.
Let me see. They got Melvin Conant dumbass on here.
Goddamn it.
Yeah. 62-year-old ass man trying to wear a goddamn ponytail like a goddamn little girl.
Lord, how much.
I wouldn't be surprised you got a polka dot apron on, you faggot. I wouldn't be surprised you got a polka dot apron on.
Damn.
Hey, none of that going to save your ass when I get you on that goddamn track, boy. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that ass. You got jokes.
Yeah,
I got one for you.
You going to get that ass out of them.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. I can't wait to beat the shit out of you. I'm gonna beat the dog piss out of you, boy.
No problem. I like that. Keep that thought.
Damn, dog, you missed a pot. You missed a pot at 9-on-1 count. You missed a pot at 9-on-1 count.
I ain't missed a pot. I saw y'all over that party with all them old ugly ass women.
Oh, shit. I was headed up that road when I heard about it.
Yeah, I know.
They was over that party.
Make me bad. I ain't see no white woman in there. I like white women. I ain't see no white woman.
That's why you didn't go over there, right, Doug?
Well, no. I didn't. When they didn't raise, it knocked the wind out of me. So it kind of dampened my spirits a little bit there. Plus,
yeah.
I was so goddamn glad. I was so glad I had dodged that ass with him because the girls were going to beat my ass. I was glad to dodge that ass with him. I was happy as a motherfucker. I mean, you know that one of them bittersweet things. I drove the car all the way to Memphis, not a race though. But when that goddamn when I couldn't race, it was just like me saving $1,500. Man, I took that $1,500, took me $400 out there, went and bought me some pussy, went on.
Not the $40.
Yep, $40. If she hadn't asked me for a tip, I was gonna get a bitch a tip. But she asked me for it. When she asked me for it, I didn't give it to her. She hadn't asked me, I was gonna give her one. I don't like motherfuckers to be agreeing to a price, and then when you pay them, then they come out to try to get some more from you. I don't like that.
Yeah, they're begging on the side.
Yeah, begging. Yeah,
hey,
Hey,
dog, when she asks you for a tip, you should say, "Okay, here's one for you. Tighten that shit up." There you go.
It wasn't really loose, but I mean, you know, yeah. But, kid, I'm going to tell you the truth, though. That Rick and Stanbro and that crew down there, they know how to party,
yeah.
Boy. Man, Rick and Stanbro was so damn drunk. You know, Rick and Stanbro got a, He got a cock eye a little bit or something. His eyes straightened up. He was so drunk.
Oh, man.
And they had a strip over there. They made me come down there and get a lap dance. And I ain't want no lap dance because I don't want to hear she dancing all over me. Let me go and give you $5 and get that thing there. Fuck all that OTs and shit.
Yeah, you got a point there, dog.
Then she was smelling good and all that and gave me a lap there. And I messed around there on the way home and I smelled on me. Shit, I got horned as a motherfucker. I said, shit, man, that, now she done fucked me up. Yeah.
Yeah, Sunshine Love made the town. I didn't know it.
I seen Sunshine. There was some goddamn house shoes on and shit. A fucking t-shirt and house shoes. The fuck, she thought she was at home or some shit?
Yes, indeed.
She was in the clubhouse.
She was dressing for the occasion. She dressed for the occasion.
God damn. She had like she goddamn it, was spending the night or some shit.
Yep, it is what it is.
I ain't mean to interrupt y'all's show, though, but I'm on this highway, so I was doing something to try to keep my ass from going to sleep.
So when's the next race, dog?
We'll be in Macon next week, baby boy. We'll be in Macon next week, baby boy. David Floyd.
Mill, Georgia.
Yazza. I heard old Tony Rayford had a pretty good old race down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
If I didn't have to go to Memphis, I'd have been down there to beat they motherfucking dumbasses.
Yeah.
I go down there and trick them dumbasses in Florida.
So you trying to say they sweet dog?
Just like a goddamn honeydew melon. Yes, sir. I go down there, oh, you got to put no sugar on this shit. Yeah. They dumb in goddamn Terrio. I locked in with Terrio and come up there. I came there, didn't even have no motor in the car. That motherfucker paid me to fuck. I ain't even have no motor in the car.
Oh, man, not just trickery.
I brought the car up there to damn get it painted, kid, and I locked Terrio in, and I said, damn, I forgot. I had to take the motor out because I had heard it, so I'm supposed to get the car painted. So I bought the car to get it painted. I said, well, shit, I'm going to just fool Terrio since he talking about it might rain. I'm gonna trick this motherfucker. Shit. Terrio paid the park out money. Terrio paid the park out money. I ain't even have no motor in the car.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Damn sure.
Yep. Get ready for old Brian Davis' race. See what's going to happen there.
Yeah, Brian Davis.
I ain't been here to advertise it about it, though.
No.
He don't really never advertise on none of the shows or nothing like that.
Well, I ain't talking about just the shows. I'm talking about theory. I'm talking about, I know that. I'm talking about theory.
Well, Chad, you know the little boy in the wheelchair, crazy man?
Yeah,
I be dealing with him.
Yeah.
He's telling me everything that's going on.
Man, who that playing that goddamn Frank Sinatra ass music, man?
That's the get up out of here music.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Get on up out of here, people, because we got to go. We want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Show. We had a good show. I want to thank everybody, all my old school legends. I want to thank Tao. I want to thank Brother Cadillac Kid, Willie Dog, Melvin, Philip Walker, Corey, my brother Tank. We gonna pray and hope Tank get some doggone seat time, people. He can get some seat time, he'll be all right. We gonna thank Hamilton Mike for coming on the show. Mr. Carter, one of our big time legends, Doc James, Kevin Coney,
Want to thank everybody for coming on. And we're going to get up out of here, people. First and foremost, always put God first in everything you do. And things will turn out all right. And we out of here, people.